at Cawley Stadium in Lowell. I'm Marty Smith alongside of Tim Kearns, and we have MIAA Division II North Football Championship up ahead this afternoon. The teams are out on the field for their pregame warm-ups, and I have to say both of these teams travel very well. There's a good-sized crowd across the way. Beverly is the home team, Duxbury is the away team, and the stands over there are probably two-thirds full, and Beverly on this side probably has as many people. We'll set the stage a little bit for you. It's artificial turf with a running track around it. The side that we're on has the sun behind us, so the shadows will go across the field. This side is the original concrete stands from the WPA project, so it has that Manning Bowl, Bertram Field feel to it, maybe a little bit like Hertz Stadium was. And across the way, it looks like the old concrete stands have been torn down and replaced with the aluminum bleachers.
Yeah, and the only, of course, the aluminum bleachers here as well, Marty. You said if this had concrete bleachers, it would look, remind people, everybody of the old Manning Field, except Manning was a complete wraparound field all the way around the end zones. Too many memories with at Manning Field to start talking about the glory days there. Where on Thanksgiving there was more action under the stands than there was on the field sometimes between classical and English kids trying to decide whose school was better. But looking around the Beverly crowd, sir, there's a lot of parents that wearing their sons' sweatshirts with their names and numbers on the back, which is always a great thing to see, the parental support and family members that have traveled, the old-timers that travel to support the team. They don't even have family members here on the Beverly squad, but they have followed Beverly from day one. And as I look out, I see Freddie Campitelli, a guy who I grew up playing baseball against in Lynn, and then we were teammates at Salem State for a year. Tom Walsh, the assistant football coach at Gloucester High School, is in the stands below us. So certainly there's a lot of interest, not only from, and my neighbors are just shown coming up the stands, the Camaras. I give them a shout out. Lots and lots of people here from Beverly. And again, if you were here like I am looking down, you'd see some of your neighbors. But it means a lot to the community to travel in this fashion. And it means a lot to the kids that the community comes out and supports me. And you know that's definitely something that plays in the back of their minds when they're not only representing, you know, themselves and the team and the school, but the community itself. And I know the same thing, you can say the same thing on the part of Duxbury, that the fans follow so well.
The at stake here, the winner of this one goes on to the Super Bowl at Gillette Stadium in about 2 weeks from today, actually, against the winner of the Shrewsbury-Westfield game, which was supposed to start about 45 minutes ago, and we'll see if we can keep track of that one. The task at hand for the Beverly Panthers is that they're facing the Duxbury Green Dragons, who are 10-0 coming into this game. They average 45.2 points that they'll score. They'll give up about 12.4. The Panthers on the other side, 21.9 points for and 17.2 points against. Now, that average, points for the Green Dragons, would be a lot higher, save for one game, and it was the game they played last week at North Attleboro, where they had to come from behind to win 26-19. You heard head coach Dave Mameron talk about that a little bit. They have not trailed at all up to that point into the playoffs, but just to give you an idea of their schedule, 42-21 over Bridgewater Raynham, 49-13 over Barnstable, 49-14 over Whitman Hansen, 46-0 over Plymouth North, 55-14 over Silver Lake, 52-7 over Quincy, which happens to be my alma mater many, many moons ago, Hingham 42-8, Pembroke 56-7, and then when they get into the playoffs, the gap gets a little bit narrower. They defeated Stoughton at home 35-21, and then last week on the road 26-19 over North Attleboro. And Beverly, in the meantime, has not enjoyed that wide spread of points, particularly if you look at the playoffs in the last 2 weeks with the tremendous one-point wins for the Panthers.
Well, I'll tell you, I have a few more gray hairs over the last 2 weeks. And I may have to go see my cardiologist again, because these second-half wins are definitely starting to have their effect. It's dramatic football, and you can't rely on being able to pull these games out game after game. It's great for your confidence that you know that you can fall behind, and you have the talent, you have the skill, you have the will to come back and stop the other team, make critical plays at critical times, and come back and score touchdowns, get turnovers, take advantage of the turnovers, and come back and basically take the game away from the other team, as they did against Bill Ricker. When we talked to Phil at halftime last week, and he was talking about, you know, Beverly's getting the ball to come back up, they're going to do something with it. And I said, you know, for something to get inside their heads. He goes, exactly. You want to make them start thinking. You want the opponent to think about how good you are, what potential you have to defeat them. And I think that's what happened to Bill Rickett last week. They started making uncharacteristic mistakes, things that they didn't do in the first half. And then we talked about this after the game, and I've talked about it during the week, that Bill Rickett did things that we didn't see in the first half. In the second half, penalties, like offensive penalties, offensive pass interference penalties, personal fouls, you know, and Beverly, and the quarterback, Beverly got better pressure. The quarterback started missing where he was hitting early on. And they took the game away from Bill Rickett, and they won that game. They wasn't giving up. They won that game.
You talked a little bit ago about family connections and how this all fits together. We have an interesting situation. The head coach of Duxbury, Coach Mamaron, his son Bobby is his quarterback. Bobby last week set the state record for all-time touchdown passes as he threw three in that come-from-behind victory. On the other side, Beverly's quarterback is the coach's nephew.
Well, that has to be a great source of pride for both. For both coaches, that their family relatives, your son or your nephew, have followed in the family tradition, and certainly the Morency, you know, he's in the Hall of Fame. Morency's in the Hall of Fame, and you look at up and down the lineup of Beverly, you know, we know their lineup, and Flaherty, Beatty. These kids come from long lines of families, shares that the family members have played in the past and played well, and these kids play up to how their relatives have played in the past, because there's a tradition of that name, and you don't want to be the guy that said, oh, geez, he wasn't as good as his uncle. I interviewed Nick Shears, his player of the week, for his game last week, and I said, you know, what's it like when Finley get together? He says, oh, a lot of trash talk. He said, everybody has a story to tell the other guy. He said, it's absolutely funny.
We're getting the starting lineups here. I want to talk a little bit, too, about the coverage this past week of Phil Stacey's work in the Salem News. He's done two tremendous reports. One, the whole focus on Hugh Callis, one of the captains, the situation that he went through, how he came to be at Beverly High School. This is his first year there, I apologize for that. And Phil said, when I came away from it, he's a genuinely nice kid.
Yeah, I mean, you meet him for the first time, and there's no pretensions about it. As good an athlete as he is, as dominant a football player as he has been for Beverly the last 2 years, and helping them get to where they are, there's no sense of, I'm this great athlete. And, you know, he comes from a very humble upbringing. You know, they came from Haiti, they survived the earthquake in 2006. And he understands what it means to have to work hard to achieve. And he appreciates all that he has been given. The roar you hear is the Beverly team being announced and coming to the 40-yard line for the coin toss. And the clock is stuck at 6 minutes. I'm not quite sure why. We're going to have the coin toss, and we'll have the playing of the national anthem. And then this game will get underway, and it is going to be roughly a half an hour late starting, so stick with us.
All right, we will continue with our pregame report. You're on MIAA Football Playoffs on MSONewsSports.com.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years.
Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
The Bradford Tavern Restaurant in Raleigh is unique, with modern touches in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, freshest seafood, and many quality daily specials. Serving lunch and dinner, the Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week. The restaurant features two separate function rooms, ideal for every need, including business meetings, bridal and baby showers, or any special event. The Bradford Tavern is located at 87 Haverhill Street, Route 133 in Raleigh, and online at bradfordtavern.com. We hope to see you soon at the Bradford Tavern. The Institution for Savings has always believed in giving back to our communities. because our communities are such great places to live and work. Last year alone, we donated and pledged more than $3.9 million to local nonprofits, including local hospitals, schools, food pantries, art organizations, and more. Named one of Boston Business Journal's top philanthropic companies, we are proud to be your local hometown bank. InstitutionForSavings.com. Member FDIC, DIF, Equal Housing Lender.
If you're interested in replacing your home's kitchen cabinets, please see the kitchen cabinet showrooms at any of Moynihan Lumber's three locations in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Many aspects of estate planning are interrelated, and you can turn to attorney Bob Badruga for full-service estate planning to help you develop a comprehensive plan in providing for your future. Bob will work with you through the years to adapt your plan as needed, and he can assist you with managing wills, trusts, probate, and taxes. Visit the law offices of Robert J. Badruga at 128 Main Street, Gloucester, or call today for an appointment at 978-283-6883.
This game is brought to you in part by the Gloucester House Restaurant, offering the freshest seafood right off their boats to your plate. Sarkisian Sportswear, delivering quality team and corporate apparel, located on Route 1 South in Peabody, and at SarkisianSports.com. Lynn Museum, Lynn Arts, preserving Lynn's past and promoting Lynn's future at 590 Washington Street. Columbia Insurance of Lynn, offering auto, home, condo, renters, and business insurance, delivering complete peace of mind. Attorney Robert J. Badruga, see Bob for estate planning and tax preparation. Gloria Food Store, Rantoul Street, Beverly. Honeydew Donuts, of Lynn, Salem, Malden, and East Boston.
Duxbury will have the football to start this football game. We've had the coin toss at midfield. We'll tell you that this is MIAA playoff football, and broadcast is made possible this afternoon by the tremendous help of Mark Hernandez of the MIAA, providing us with facilities here at Cawley Stadium. Marty Smith alongside of Tim Kearns. And one more comment. In the pregame, they had all recognized the veterans and asked the veterans to stand up. I go to a lot of baseball, primarily minor league baseball, and pretty much in most every park you find the one black seat, the POWMIA seat. I've never seen one in a football field, but there is one here down in front of us. It's a black seat surrounded by posts. It's the only seat in the entire stadium. Everything else is benches, and it has it's the black seat which shall ever remain empty in honor of the POWs and MIAs. First time I've ever seen it in a football game.
Good eyes.
Well, that's because I saw it coming up when I was here checking the place out. I didn't pick it out just now. All right, Luke Semperi will kick the football off from the 40. And Duxbury has five guys deep anticipating this kickoff. Three across. Going Duxbury has 96 people, I think, dressed for this. And the kickoff goes in and out of the end zone, so it'll be first and 10 from the 20. There'll be no return on this as Sam Perry gets it high into the air and deep into the end zone. The flag is blowing at Beverly's back, which I don't necessarily think Sam Perry needs the help to get the football that far. But it's a light breeze here. The sun will be...
A zephyr.
The sun will be in the eyes of the Panthers at the back of quarterback Bobby Mamaron for the Duxbury Green Dragons. Dave Mamaron is 107-23 in his career. Coaching Duxbury, single wide to the near side is Dave Colucci. He's joined out here now on the near side as well by Jack Jacobson. Seth, there's the snap out of the shotgun. Mamaron has time. He's under pressure. Fires it. It's complete. Over the middle and still on his feet up to the 40-yard line. It's Joe Gooley.
Yeah, Beverly got good pressure. No, Beverly switched numbers on us because number 75. Pat Gavin. He switched numbers a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
He had good pressure, but I think that was designed. Let him come in and set up the screen just beyond the line of scrimmage. And a big chunk of yards.
Twins to the near side. Mamaron back. Rolls, fires, long to the near side. And it is in out of the hands of the intended receiver, Jim Miley. He was out of bounds as the ball was overthrown. Tremendous coverage there by the Panthers. Clark Marchand for Beverly.
Well, the key for the Beverly defense is to get the the quarterback out of his usual rhythm. Obviously, you put up the number of points that he has, and you go undefeated. You get into a rhythm rather easily with that big offensive line that's able to give you time. Bevel's going to find a time to get inside and make him move, make him throw on the run, something maybe he's not real comfortable with. And on that last play, overthrow.
All right, has time again. Fires it long downfield. Intercepted by the Panthers. Pulled down out of the air.
Jones continues his outstanding playoff run with his fourth interception of the playoffs. And he had great inside position. The ball maybe a little underthrown, but he cut just inside of the receiver. Great turnaround look for the ball. Great reaction. Great hands.
At the 29-yard line of the Panthers, their first and 10 as they'll move from our right to our left, and Kevin Morency has his team huddled up at about the 20. Morency will be looking into the sun for a little while here in the first quarter as the shadows start to lengthen. The field is in shadows from the near hash mark from the goal to our right up to right about midfield. Morency steps back up under center, now shows the eye. Puts Chenard at the tail on the power eye for the Panthers. Handed off to Chenard, right on his feet, up to the 30, to the 32. And he's stopped there and pushed down. There'll be a gain of about 4 for the Panthers. And tackle made there by Charlie Gans. Second and 7, they'll call it. For the Panthers, 10 minutes even to play. We're playing 4 11-minute quarters. Here in the Division II North Championship from Lowell, the backs again in the eye. They go again to Chenard. Chenard pushes up to the 35-yard line. And it will set up third down and 4 for Beverly. Kevin Morency comes to the near sideline. Sam Abatey checks in. And Chenard comes out for Beverly. Set him up defensively. Aiden Taberner, Jake Kilty, Jack McKim on the defensive side of the ball for the Green Dragons. Third and 4. Again, the power eye for the Panthers. Morency pitches. Back to the tail. It's Abatey. Abatey gets close to the 40. He's going to be about a yard short of the first down. He'll be down at about the 39-yard line. Well, let's see. They spot the ball. Very close, but I think he's still going to be short. Short by about a foot.
Yeah, he's just on the wrong side of the 39-yard line.
Yeah, the near hash mark. So fourth down, and Beverly's going to go for it at their own 39-yard line, making a statement here early in this football game. The long huddle for Beverly. First out, Jordan Parasella gets into position over the football. Everybody's in close. Abatey's at the tail for the Panthers. And Morency set the long count. Looks, takes it, gives it off to Abatey. He's met, and he is not going to get it. He's actually pushed back. He might have lost a yard that.
Yeah, he lost a couple of yards. They got great penetration. They just overwhelmed the Beverly offensive line on the left-hand side. And again, he had no chance. Again, Beverly on this opening drive going up in between the tackles, trying to exploit it. Again, that's been Beverly football during the year. But I think what you'll see is you got to see a little bit more mix. You got to see them head into the outside, get that corner, test the speed, test that lateral speed of this Duxbury defense. Because you got big men, you know, you got big guys on that line. Make them run. Make them chase you. Get them tired.
Mamer on. Back in the shotgun. Again, the spread offense. Two wides to either side. Beverly drops back the coverage, and they hand the ball off to Frankie Towler, and Towler gets inside the 35. We'll put him down at the 34-yard line. So for the first time, they go to the ground.
Well, again, they, you know, their strength in their first drive, they wanted to go and see what they could do against the Beverly defense, and the Beverly defense stood up, and they rose to the occasion, and they made the interception.
Ben Quinlan at center over the football. A little conversation about positioning. Colucci slotted out right side now. The back is Gooley off to the left side. Man in motion. Handed off this time to Colucci. Colucci sweeps left. He's going to be dropped. And he'll be dropped for a loss back to the 35-yard line. Drop loss of a couple for Tommy Adams.
Yeah, great play. Shed his block and slid out and made the play. Grabbed him by the back of the jersey. Haul him down. Didn't let go. Gave him some time to get some extra help from the linebackers coming up. But, again, Great play by Adams.
Third down. They'll mark it for no gain, actually. The ball is at the 33. They need to get to the 28. It is third and five. Motion running from right to left is John Roberts. Getting away from a tackle and throwing it downfield. It is complete, and it is into the end zone. Pulled down out of the air by John Roberts in a tremendous diving catch. And he rolled backwards, hit the pylon, and a 36-yard touchdown pass.
UCal has almost had Memoron behind the line of scrimmage. Got a hand at his ankle. Memoron pulled free. He rolled towards us and around the sideline numbers. He let it go. And I thought the ball was actually headed out of bounds. And as I looked out through the window down to my right, I could see the ball falling down on the receiver. Just a great job. He dove for the ball. And as he dove, his momentum carried him into the end zone for the touchdown.
Ben Carver to kick the point after. The kick is up, and it is between the uprights, and Carver's kick is good, and we move to 7-0 with the Duxbury Green Dragons leading the Beverly Panthers MIAA Division II North Championship on MSONewsSports.com.
Game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Green Dragons set to kick the football off to the Panthers, Sam Abatey and Kyle Chenard. Back to receive, and they are at their own 15. Chenard drops back a little bit to the top of the soccer circle. Back, Ken takes another couple of steps back. Ben Carver, after just making the point after, capping a 33-yard drive. Three plays, actually, for Duxbury.
No, that was such an outstanding catch. Those are the kind of catches that make your quarterback look good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it was just a little long, but, I mean, the effort that he made to stretch out full length with arms extended and corral that ball and bring it in.
Here's the kickoff, and it comes to Chenard, and he fields it at the 15. He's up at the 20, comes to the near side, and he's wrapped up and dropped at the 25-yard line. Taken there by Gooley for the Green Dragons, and Beverly will go on offense first and 10. But if you look back to that throw, Memoron was under tremendous pressure. He got away from a tackle. Somebody had him down low. He rolled way out to the near side and still was able to find his receiver 38 yards down.
Yeah, I talked to him about trying to get him to throw on the run, maybe get him out of his comfort zone. I'll tell you, he appeared real comfortable throwing that ball down the sideline, and he kept it in play. A lot of guys, when they're rolling out to the sideline, being right-handed, that ball will tend to float out of bounds. He threw that right down the sideline. Great throw.
Chris Cole into the game for the Panthers. Jordan Paracella. Now Cole splits out to the wide to the left side. Chenard, receiver out far side to the right. Paracella's over the ball and back 5-yard drop, and we've got whistle here. Take flag. Flag. Timeout taken by Duxbury. So I interrupted your thought there too when you were talking about making Beverly's defense trying to get Marshfield out of, Duxbury out of their comfort zone.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, you know, you're 10-0, you've scored a ton of points, you've really beaten up opponents, you've had a couple of close games lately. So there are things that you can do to try to disrupt them, and I'm sure those are the films that Coach Morenci and his staff have looked at and keyed on. But I'll tell you, you know, your undefeated record speaks for itself, that you've done enough things to, even though they've been close, to keep those L's out of the... Off the record, and you're able to make those big plays. You get guys on both ends, the passer and the receivers, going all out.
First and 10 for the Panthers, and hanging on to the football is Morenci, and it goes nowhere. He's going to be dropped for a loss back to the 20. He just didn't get time to set up.
Yeah, Nick Guerin, one of the senior captains. I'll tell you, 5'11", 180, he came flying through, and you know, Morenci looked like for a moment there that he was going to have some room. He had a couple of blockers out in front, but he never got a chance to get to the line of scrimmage. He was just nailing a real solid tackle.
Chenard comes out. Tommy Adams comes in. Beverly with a 2nd and 14.
Yeah, Beverly has to maintain ball possession. They've got to get some good long drives going, keep the Duxbury offense off the field, because we can see that they're a big strike offense as well.
Trips to the far side, and they fake it. Hand it off instead underneath up to the 22-yard line. and that was Sam Abatey up to the 22.
Yeah, Joe Gooley on the tackle. Again, just staying home, playing his assignment. He was in that hole. It didn't go for the first fake. He stayed home. And again, Abatey came right to him.
I went for the fake to Flaherty. Because it looked like Flaherty was going to take it and do that option down because he had three wide receivers far out to his right side. Cole out to the right. Hugh Callis into the game on offense. Trips to the far side now for the Panthers. And Morency, this time with a little bit of time, throws it, and it is incomplete. And the Beverly fans are looking, as is the Beverly coaching staff, for the 15-yard bear hug call.
It was very, very good coverage. The ball, it was tight coverage. The ball was there as the ball got to the intended receiver, who was...
Who were you looking for?
Beverly receiver.
I think it was
the wide receiver, Tommy Adams. As he came across the middle, again, the defender, arm stretched, knocked the ball away. Tight coverage. That's a 50-50 call. And again, on this time, went Duxbury's way.
John Roberts to take the punt. He's at his own 40-yard line. Luke Samperi awaits the snap. It's a little bit high. Gets the laces up. Ooh. Gets a nice punt off. Big hang time. And it is fielded at the 44-yard line. And a fair catch called for there very wisely, because Alex Copeland was right in on top of John Roberts. He probably could have made himself a ham sandwich waiting for that one to come down.
Yeah, Samperi, again, great under pressure. High snap. Duxbury went for the block. They had three men, and he still managed to get it away. And again, he was punting inside his 10-yard line, and he got it out to the other side of midfield. So
I missed a flag, I think. I did.
Did we get roughing the kicker? Because there were three men on him. Again, once the kick went up, I took my eyes off him. So let's see. Morency's back on the field, and they're walking forward.
15.
And it was.
Roughing the kicker gives Beverly a first down.
Well, again, Duxbury had three men in on Samperi. He was lucky to get it. He got it away. Again, great concentration on his part. He just ignored the three men coming at him. I'm not sure I would have been so brave.
I did the same thing. I watched the trajectory of the football, and I could kind of see out of the corner of my eye the pressure that Samperi was on. And remember, that snap was a little bit high, something you don't see that often.
Right.
With Beverly, here's the handoff, and that is Abatey, and he gets up to the 40, the 41-yard line for the Panthers.
That's good. That's good forward push by your offensive line.
The gain is a short five. We'll call it second and five for Beverly, and the ball is at their 41-yard line between the two hash marks.
Yeah, we got Paulo Fiche, Luke Veal, Jordan Parasella at center, Nick Shears, and Nick Gonzalez. And again, they just got a great initial push. And that's what Beverly needs to do. That the first 9 yards, they've got to score 4, 5, 6 yards to make that second down easier.
From the stack eye once again. This time the handoff to the back, and it's Chouinard, and Chouinard is wrapped up and pushed backwards by Brad Backlund.
Yeah, no, but if you're not going straight forward, that play just takes way too long because he's so deep in the backfield, and it's given Duxbury time to shed some blocks and just go. I think Coach Morency may even try a toss pitch to the wide side and let those two up men go out there as blockers along your wide receiver and tight end and try for the corner.
Pat Gavin checks out off of the line for the Panthers. There's a loss of three, and it is two, and make it third and seven. And Beverly once again splits three wides to the near side, and Duxbury's going to call timeout here. They needed to get their defense on the field, or they're talking to the officials over on the far side. Meanwhile, four or five of the Duxbury guys were down in their three-point, and Beverly was ready to snap the ball. Duxbury takes time
out
here.
And then some of the Duxbury players walked away, and there were two linemen in the middle of the field just staying in it, just ready to go, because Beverly was still in the formation.
4:07 to play here in the first quarter, and Duxbury has a 7-0 lead over the Beverly Panthers, a 30-second timeout taken by the Green Dragons.
Well, you had to wonder if Beverly's going to pull a play something like the Pittsburgh Steelers did against Dallas last week, where the game was winding down. And
third and seven. Oh, my. The handoff, Morency held onto it, and he just got wrapped up by Nick Guerin once again.
Yeah, and Charlie Gann's in on the play also. Both of them just shot the gap. No chance. Again, Beverly, good play on first down, but everything negative after that.
Yeah, there's a loss of one on this loss of four, and it's fourth and 11 for Beverly. So the 15 yards down on the roughing the kicker turns into a 14-yard gain by the Panthers, a 14-yard change in field position for St. Perry, as he will now punt from his 21-yard line.
A better snap.
And still a very nice kick. And it bounds at the 25 and at the 20, and they're going to let it take a roll, and Beverly will down it at the 7-yard line. Back to down it for Beverly is Tommy Adams, as Willie decided he was just not going to do anything with it and let it roll, and it cost him about 10 yards.
Well, again, better to try to pick up it, and it was tossing and turning. It would have been a very difficult ball to handle. And again, Beverly, because of the length of the kick, was able to get down underneath it and had, once again, great coverage. And Perry took a really good pop from one of the rushes for Duxbury once again, and the referee just blew that one away. Not having seen the first one, I thought that was a pretty good hit he took.
First and 10 for the Duxbury Green Dragons, 3:15 to play in the first quarter, a 7-0 Duxbury lead here over Beverly. Working from his own goal line, quarterback Bobby Mamaron with a touchdown pass already in this football game. He fires, and it is complete to the far sideline. Gathered in there by Jacobson. When he tries to turn the corner, there's not much there for him, and he's dropped down by Jones, and there'll be a gain of 3, 2nd and 7.
Jones is a real sure tackler. He's done an outstanding job playing that left corner.
And Duxbury runs no huddle pretty much throughout the game. Back at his own 5-yard line, Frankie Towler is the tail. Now is about 3 feet to the right side of his quarterback back. Looking to pass as Mamaron is to the near sideline. It is complete and run out of bounds. They're going to say it's a complete pass even though he gave it up, as the pass was complete to John Roberts on the near side. It was short of the first down. They'll mark it at the 16, and they need to get to the 17. So it'll be 3rd and 1.
Massanutten Boys Soccer lost to Nauset 2-1.
Talk a little bit about Thanksgiving at some point during this presentation today. Two wides to either side in the spread offense for Mamaron. Calls the signals to Ben Quinlan at center. Quinlan with that shotgun type snap. Beverly's defense creeps back a little bit. Motion man now from left to right is Jacobson, and they hand it off up the middle, and with it is Mamaron. Actually held onto it, and he's got first down. He'll get up to the 22-yard line, and it will be 1st and 10 for Duxbury.
Oh, we have a moment. I want to congratulate Matt Andreas and Laura Flynn from Danvers and Hamilton High School, respectively, for being the Moynihan Student Athletes of the Month for October. We have to wait and see what the results are for athletic efforts during that time period. Also, recognition for their scholastic achievements at their respective schools. So congratulations to Matt and Laura.
Fowler once again in the backfield. Twins to either side. For Mamaron, takes a two-step drop, looks, fires it down far sideline, and it is complete and caught down there. Bring it down is Ryan Reagan. Reagan on his horse at the 10, at the 5, into the end zone, unmolested, a touchdown.
Yeah, he did a double stop. He did a move on Johnny Jones, and Jones stepped, and Reagan kept moving. And again, Mamaron laid it right in his hands, in stride. Never had, just looked back, ran right underneath the ball, and then just kept going, outraced the defense.
That's about a 75-yard touchdown.
Yeah, I'm
about the 25.
They moved the markers.
Yeah, they did.
Nice guys. Yeah, it was it was a long way. And the pass was completed up around the 40-yard
line. Yes. Yeah.
So I mean, he threw it.
Ben Carver set the kick.
A little over, probably 40, 45 yards, and again, just a perfect strike.
The kick is up and good. So with 1:49 to play here in the first quarter, Duxbury leads Beverly by a score of 14-0 on MSONewsSports.com.
Score early and often this fall with a low-rate residential loan from the Institution for Savings. The Institution for Savings has fantastic rates, low or no fees, great service, and prompt turnaround. Plus, we service our mortgages in-house, so help is always a local phone call away. For more information or to apply online 24/7, visit institutionforsavingsloans.com or call us at 978-462-2344. Institution for Savings, member FDIC and DIF, equal housing lender.
14-0, Duxbury on top here, and they will kick the football off to the Panthers with 1:49 to play in the first quarter. Colley Stadium in Lowell is our location. The shadows have lengthened, and from the 10 to about the 20, down to our right, is completely in the shade, as is everything to the left from the 35 back. The lights have been on since prior to the start of this football game. Beverly set, Abadie and Chenard back to receive. It's a spiraling kick, and Chenard picks it up at the 22, on his feet at the 30, spun around at the 27-yard line, so it will be first and 10 for the Panthers, as he is just drilled into the turf at that point.
The kicks are not overly high, but and they're not that long, but the Duxbury coverage team gets downfield very, very quickly and just smothers the Beverly returners. Triton is behind 27-0 at the half to Hanover.
Okay. So that's another that is a playoff game for a Super Bowl berth as well.
Yes, it is.
Winner here goes on to play the winner of the Shrewsbury-Wakefield game, and I'm sure you're efforting that as we speak. Here it is. Off to Callis. Callis puts his head down. There are three white jerseys right in front of him, and he'll get up to the 31-yard line. The gain is three for the Panthers. Knocked down by Nick Guerin. That was a punishing hit. It was... Callis was almost trying to jackhammer his way through white jerseys. Three
yeah,
of them.
It's... And again, it's just... They're so fast to the ball, to the play, and there's one guy standing there waking, you know, holding up the Beverly player, the running back, and the posse behind to help out is just one or two steps. It's so fast.
From the stack eye, the handoff goes to Abadie. Abadie spins up to the 30 to the 31, and very quickly, exactly what you were just talking about, he gets back to the line of scrimmage, and he is taken down. And just dropped there.
You know, and it looked like there was a hole when he began his cutback, because the end sealed it, and he had a cutback up, and it actually looked like he was going to have some room to run. And just as he begins the cut, three jerseys, white jerseys, come sliding down on him, and bring him down.
Chris Chasen makes the tackle, makes the first hit on that. Beverly has Paracella over the ball. Cole to the near side, Callis to the far side, slots to either side. Motion man now is Abadie. Goes from right to left. A little bit of time to throw. It is complete to who? Complete to Cole. I thought it was, and he just got punished by Joe Gooley. Perfectly timed, and it almost looked like a variation of that hit that Gronk took last
week. Yeah, I'm gonna throw it correct. Did they change numbers? Did I have number 8? Riley Bergstrom out there.
Ah, okay.
He came up and slammed.
Yep.
Okay. Chris Cole just got hit. And that looked like a chance for Beverly to grab a first down and continue the drive. And just, again, right there for the play. Closed quickly. Again, there was that window where Cole was open. And Greta Morenci, he got the ball away. It was there. But the hit was just a thunderous hit from behind. And the ball popped loose incomplete.
Beverly takes time out here with 17 seconds to play in the first quarter. It is 4th and 7. For the Panthers. Coming up next Thursday, we'll talk about that because we're going to break here for Luke Samperi's kick. He's at his own 17-yard line, the near hash mark. Single receiver back at the 30, anticipating this punt. Nice snap, laces up. Plenty of distance, plenty of height. We're going to go chase it. It's going to bounce at the 20, and it will be fielded at the 15-yard line and spun and drilled once again by Alex Copeland. He's had tremendous speed getting down underneath there. The last time, the receiver just said, I'm not going to deal with it. This time he dealt with him and took the hit.
Yeah, very, very surprised, because he had a run. He had a turn like a left fielder and chased that ball down. He managed to get around it, took a nice high bounce, figured I'll take a shot at. Copeland was just there, and again, a short tackle ripped him down to the ground. Returner might want to think about that one.
56-yard punt.
And in fact, was that fielded by Gooley?
Yes.
Okay, he's hurting, because I'm watching him go off the field, and his right shoulder is a little sore from being taken down by Cole, Copeland rather.
Ball at his own 12-yard line for Bobby Mameron, moving left to right. Nick snapped the ball. The clock will start advancing from 7 seconds to play in the first quarter. There's the snap. The handoff goes again to Gooley, and Gooley's on his feet. check that. That is Frankie Towler with the football, and he gets first down yardage and then some as he gets up to the 26-yard line. And that will be the end of the first quarter. So we have one quarter in the books with Duxbury leading Beverly by a score of 14-0 on NAIA football playoffs on MSONewsports.com.
Historic Seven Seasons, 63 Rogers Street, Gloucester. This is owner Lenny Linquata.
We provide service and product better than anybody else. It comes directly from our boats right to your place. We have fishermen that work great for us. We are wholesalers that we buy what we want to serve to our customers, and we put the rest of it right out in the market.
The Gloucester House Restaurant. Visit thegloucesterhouse.com.
This is the freshest seafood you can get from our boats to your place.
For team uniforms and your business's corporate apparel, choose Sarkisian Sportswear, Route 1 South in Peabody. Why Sarkisians? It's quality. Owner Sarkis Sarkisian.
Quality is not only the type of apparel you get and the cleanliness and the professionalism that's used in making that. The quality is in the customer service that we provide from the beginning to the end of the whole process of getting you the type of apparel or uniforms that you're looking for.
Sarkisian Sportswear, Route 1 South, Peabody, SarkisianSports.com.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're thinking of replacing the windows in your home, I can understand the confusion you may be experiencing. TV, radio, and newspapers are simply filled with replacement window advertising, all promising everything under the sun and then some. At Moynihan Lumber, we offer no gimmicks, just quality products, competitively priced, sold to you by a professional salesperson who really knows what he's talking about. That's Moynihan Lumber in North Reading, Beverly, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at moynihanlumber.com.
Score early and often this fall with a low-rate residential loan from the Institution for Savings. The Institution for Savings has fantastic rates, low or no fees, great service, and prompt turnaround. Plus, we service our mortgages in-house, so help is always a local phone call away. For more information or to apply online 24/7, visit institutionforsavingsloans.com or call us at 978-462-2344. Institution for Savings, member FDIC and DIF, equal housing lender.
Maron's pass down over the 50 to the 45 just bounces in front of Kevin Flaherty. He was closest to the football, so we now have third down and 7 from their own 30 for Bobby Maron as is now moving from our right to our left. Gets under his center, gives him the play call, rolls back. Frankie Towler an arm's length away to his left, and again the spread to either side. Looking to throw is Maron. Maron has time, fires, it is complete to the near sideline, taken there by James Miley. It is first down at the 45-yard line, pushed out of bounds by Johnny Jones of the Panthers.
Again, moving over, bullet pass, down low. Only one person could capture the ball, that was the receiver. Jones had good coverage, ball just down out in front of him.
On the way over, we were talking about one individual. We weren't sure who it was. It's Quinn Murphy, and we'll get his statistics. Looks like he's about 7 foot tall and about 300 pounds playing on the end of this line. And here's Maron running behind him and gets up over the 50 down to the 45 to the Beverly 40 to the 38-yard line. Before he's taken there by Clark Marchand, and we just happened to be talking about Quinn Murphy, and he opened up the hole. 53.
He is 6'5", 300 pounds. Phil and I were talking about the size of this team earlier, and it's amazing.
10-13 to play in the half, 2-touchdown lead for Duxbury, and they're on Beverly side of midfield at the 37-yard line. Handed off to Towler, and Towler inside the 35, down to the 32. Dropped there by Pat Gavin for the Panthers, but not before he gets a nice 7-yard pickup at his second and 3 with 9:52 to play here in the first half.
So he said 6'5", 300, 6'2", 240, 5'10", 235. This is their offensive line. 6'5", 270 on the other end.
Here's Maron with the long count, 5-yard drop back. Stutters, fires over the middle, it is complete. Complete there to Jack Jacobson. Jacobson turns corner at the 20, and he's jammed out of bounds by Flaherty, but not before he gets to the 13-yard line. A very nice, almost 20-yard pickup. And it will be a fresh set of downs, first and 10, from the 13 of Beverly, for the Duxbury Dragons.
Oh, great, great scheme. They spread the field. They drag the receiver across the middle. He's wide open. Again, he's doubles in that zone. They're dropping back, and he just comes into that open air. Sounds like watching the Patriots last week.
Well, you look at the size of the line. It's Mamaron has plenty of time to set up because that's a very large wall to get through. Here's Mamaron again. This time Toller's to his right side. Puts the motion man Jacobson from right to left. Instead hangs onto the football and gets down inside the 10 to the 9-yard line.
Clark Marshawn on the tackle of Beverly.
So the gain is 4. It's second down and 6. And the field now totally in the shadows. 9 minutes to play here in the first half. The official time is on the scoreboard. Mamaron discusses what's going on with Frankie Toler. Again, the spread. This time the short side is to the left side, the near side. Toler, quarterback Mamaron hangs onto it again inside the 10 and just bulls his way into the end zone. It's a touchdown, a 9-yard touchdown run for Bobby Mamaron, and it is 20-0.
Yeah, at 6'1", 180, he's a well-built young man. And again, he just leaned forward and let his legs do the driving, and he just pushed through a potential tackle at the 2-yard line into the end zone. So with 8:43 left in the half, Beverly finds themselves down 20-0. And again, I don't think this is anything that Beverly didn't expect to see. I mean, you know, they're big, strong, they're fast, they get to the ball quickly on defense. They're efficient with their blocks, they hold their blocks, and they execute the offense.
Here's this kick down, and it is up and between the uprights for Ben Carver. And with 8 minutes 43 seconds to play here in the first half, it's 21 for Duxbury and 0 for Beverly on MSONewsSports.com.
Looking for reliable brand uniforms or your business's corporate apparel? Then Sarkisian and Sportswear is the place for you. Conveniently located on Route 1 South in Peabody, Mass., Sarkisian Sportswear handles all aspects of your needs, from price quoting to providing visual proofs to production completion. Visit our website, SarkisianSports.com, to view our monthly specials, vendor catalogs, and to request a quote. Remember, Sarkisian Sportswear is the place to go.
Ben Carver tees the ball up at the 40 for Duxbury as they have Phil go from right to left, and Beverly will go from our left to our right with Abatey and Chenard back to receive this kickoff following the third touchdown of the football game for Duxbury.
And you know, with the kicker doesn't kick long, but he kicks high enough that the coverage team can get underneath it, and Beverly may get the ball at the 30-35.
It comes right, and it's pulled out of the air by Chenard at the 10. He's up to the 20. Cuts in. He's at the 30. He's at the 40. One man to beat, and he runs the sideline, and he'll go out of bounds at about the 47-yard line. On the far side, mark at the 49-yard line. The one man he had to beat was the kicker, who gave him just a straight arm and pushed him out of bounds.
Yeah, he one man to go, and he was just getting squeezed on that sideline, but Kyle did a great job of stepping out of potential tackle down around the 25-yard line. They gave him the sideline. No, is this the spark that Beverly needed? We saw it last week when Abatey had that big run back to begin the second half to the 45-yard line. They went down and scored. Can Beverly use this kind of return as a spark? And this was a line drive. This wasn't that short little pooch kick that Duxbury had been using to get their coverage down around the 30 to the 25-yard line and just wrap Beverly up there. This is a line drive that was down to about the 10-15-yard line.
And Chenard was moving from his right to his left, jumped up, got the ball, had the momentum, and went to the far sideline.
Yep. Get to the outside. Make them chase you wide. Don't go inside.
Handoff goes to Callis. High steps. Gets over midfield and down to the 45-yard line. The gain is 4 for the Panthers. And the first man in on the tackle looks like Garon from here.
Yeah, he jumped over Charlie Gans, number 34, who went low to try to take him down. He hurdled him. Track coach is going to be watching that move by Beverly High School. And again,
ball at the 45-yard line, so over midfield.
Again, a good 4 yards. Now you get into something more positive on second down, which Beverly has really not been able to do. You get the wide side coming towards us here. Will they simply, again, come wide and try to seal it off and get a chunk yard, just what they did before?
Back split. Now Morency with time fires it and is intercepted. Pulled down out of the air by Mike Barry. Barry comes back, runs to the sideline at the 40, the 30. There's nobody in front of him at the 15, the 10, the 5. Touchdown.
Not a well-advised pass. It was triple coverage. He threw it below the receiver. if that pass was going to have any kind of success, he was going to have to throw it over the top towards the sideline. He didn't have enough air on it, and again, the defensive back stepped in front, and there was just clear sailing to the end zone. Again, you know, Beverly set up a great field position. They had a good chunk on first down. And again, just a bad read and throw by Morenci on that play. Again, trying to get probably too much at one time. He came to the near side where there was room, but again, they had the coverage.
On to do the kicking for the point after is Ben Carver. The snap is down. The kick is blocked. It's on the ground, picked up by the Panthers, but they are not going to be able to advance it as they did against Tewksbury a couple of weeks ago. So with 7:39 to play here in the first half, it is 27-0 with Tewksbury over Beverly on MSONewsSports.com.
Gloria Food Store is still Beverly's number one deli, and no matter what New England weather is thrown at us, Gloria is open. With fresh bread delivered from Sunray Bakery every morning, Gloria can provide party platters, calzones, hot trays, cold trays, salad trays, and finger sandwiches for whatever you have planned. Call in your order at 978-922-3613, stop in at 268 Rantoul Street, or visit GloriaFoodStore.com.
At Colley Stadium in Lowell, I'm Marty Smith, Tim Kearns on MIAA Division II North football playoffs here with Marshfield. With Duxbury.
Why are you in Marshfield today?
Well, because they're playing Marshfield and Duxbury on Thanksgiving. That's the only reason I can think of.
Do you go to it every year or something?
No.
You're anticipating the game?
I must be. Mark Hernandez.
Have you talked to Jane about going to your travel plans?
I'm working Thanksgiving. As we all are. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Beverly will get the football back. Once again, a great deal of thanks to Mark Hernandez from the MIAA in getting us set up so that we can bring you the play call of this game this afternoon.
I have a couple of upsets to report once the kickoff is done.
Carver. Wait. Beverly fans yelling for the sidelines to pump it up. I can hear a pin drop in here right now. There's the end-over-end kick, and it's fielded by Chouinard at his 8. Up to the 20. Tries to go. Goes left side. Gets away from a block. Gets up to the 30. Up to the 35. Up to the 40. Breaks free. He's at midfield. Still on his feet inside the 45. And brought down at the 42-yard line. Wrapped around and dropped finally. So another tremendous kickoff return for Kyle Chouinard and the Beverly Panthers.
No, it's like deja vu all over again.
So this time it wasn't the kicker who got him.
No, number 36, I think it was, that pushed him.
He would be the kicker then if it was him. I thought it was 33 that pushed him out.
Oh, we both wear glasses, so it's
that's true.
But nonetheless, another great run back by Kyle Chouinard. He saw a hole and just went for it. And again, much more determined running. He had an idea of what lane he wanted to take and just, again, like you said, he just got the full speed really, really quick. Now, again, good first down yardage, second down, get to the outside.
Cole to the near side. With it is quarterback Morenci. Morenci turns, tries to find some running room on the near side. There's nothing there. He might not have even made it back to the line of scrimmage. They strung him out. He's trying to get a block from Kevin Flaherty. Also had Sam Abatey here. And Paulo Feisch was working with him to drive him down. Brad Backlund pushed him out of bounds here.
He came from the backside and chased Morenci down in front of us and pulled him down near the sideline.
Loss is one. Trips to the far side from the shotgun with Chouinard immediately to his left. Is Morenci. He's not going to have time, and he coughs the football up. It's on the ground, and it is recovered. Well, I'm not sure who it's recovered by because we've got a scrum at the 35-yard line.
Well, Beverly, I think, ultimately comes up with it because the Duxbury player who went for it, who was number 34 on in your programs, Charlie Gant, he went to fall, and the ball squirted out, and a Beverly player was able to jump on top of it. So, all right, now, stunning upsets. Yale defeated Harvard 21-14, and in bigger news, Dortmund defeated Bayern Munich for their first defeat of the season.
Oh, okay.
In the Bundesliga.
What did we ever do before the Internet? Open the windows and call your neighbors for the scoreboard at the end of the game. So it is third.
Remember
the
ball's, those days?
Yes, the ball's at the 35. First down is 32 on the other side, so it's 15-17.
Yeah.
That's 45, make that. So it's third down and 22. We've got timeout taken here on the field.
You know, you go out to play in the neighborhood. Your mother would go out the front door. Your father would go out the door, call you for supper. Now they literally call you for supper.
false start against the Panthers. Puts them back just shy of their own 40. So it's third and 28 for Beverly. And to back up a little bit, it was Joe Gooley that put the pressure on. He came out of nowhere to put the pressure on Morency as he tried to roll out to his near side. This time drop, and he's under pressure again, but he finds Flaherty on the near sideline. He's at the 50, the 45, at the 40, runs the sideline to the 30, cuts back in, he's at the 26, and he will be very close to the first down. We will see how they mark this football.
Out. Beverly got a big play there. They used the aggressiveness of the Duxbury defense against them. The defensive line got a great push, but it was designed that way to suck them in. Flaherty just broke off.
Whistles here.
Snap whistle, stop the play. I don't think the officials were in position. Oh, we got a Duxbury player down on the other side.
Okay.
And
timeout taken by Duxbury. 6:19 to play here. I think this is a short one, so I'll let you finish your thought.
So that allowed the receiver to drag the secondary off to the far side of the field. Flaherty came against the grain on the screen. Morency did a great job of selling it, great pass. And again, a Flaherty, when he gets the ball in the open field, knows what to do with it. He has put the jets on, headed down the far sideline, avoided one potential tackler. And again, big gain, again, down to the 26-yard line. So again, Beverly finding opportunities to move the ball. They just have to find a way to continue the drive to get. They got to get in the end zone before the half. That's a key for this team, because right now they've got to be feeling a little down. They haven't been in this kind of a hole all season long. And, they can crawl back within one, stop Duxbury on their next possession. Again, control the ball, kill the clock. They're getting the ball to start the second half. We know how they play in the second half. They're a different team. You know Duxbury's going to be aware of that after having seen the last two games and what they've done. They've mounted those kind of comebacks, so they're going to be really determined and focused.
Here's Morency. The ball's up in the air. It's batted around, and I don't think anybody had control of it. It went off of Callis's fingertips, but I think it went off of the defender, Joe Gooley, first. Callis came up with it, was batted around, and it went to the ground. So Morency throwing on first and 10, now finds himself second and 10 from the 26-yard line of Duxbury.
Yeah, and the one thing that, you know, Beverly, you're down 27-0, but you just can't rush things. You have to let the offense flow. You have to let it come to you. And again, if you're rushing it, trying to make something happen, that's when the bad things happen. BC's up 30-0 over UConn.
To your point, Beverly had that illegal procedure call on the last possession. Here's a flag in the backfield. Abatey with the football. Gets down inside the 15. It will be first down if the play stands. But the conversation is with Kevin Flaherty, so that generally is not good. It's a personal foul holding against Beverly. So that'll bring that play back and cost him a ton of yards. So they'll spot it back to the 36. So it is a 10-yard penalty. It is now second and 20.
Again, once again, if it's not Duxbury making the play, and this is, I think, the first penalty against?
Second because they had that illegal motion earlier in this drive that made it second and 20-something at that point.
You're down 27. You have to be perfect on your offense. You can't shoot yourself in the foot and make it more difficult.
Firing to Callis, popped, and out of bounds, and he drops the football. Mike Barry got him. That's one thing you have to say for the Duxbury defense. They have tremendous timing when it comes to the receiver with the football and popping him.
Yeah, they close really, really fast. We've seen that all first half, is that Beverly receivers are open for that moment. They've got inside position, but by the time the ball gets there, that coverage man is there, and he is just applying a tremendous hit, and you just don't have time to secure the ball, and that ball's popping away.
Callis and Abatey to the near side, looking to throw, this time airing it long. Callis is the intended receiver, goes up for the football, and he will not get it, neither will Mike Barry, the defender. So it sets up fourth down and 24, Beverly.
Yeah, Callis had he was behind the receiver, ball just not thrown long enough, so you had to become the defensive back and reach over and knock the ball down from Barry. So again, good field position will go by the wayside for Beverly. in this position, it's four down territory. So we'll see what Coach Morenci calls for.
Still fourth and 20. They've had fourth and short right around this same part of the field. And
that was a negative five.
Yep. So 5 minutes, 41 seconds to play in the first half. A 27-0 score on the scoreboard with Duxbury on top. And this is, well, this drive got Beverly as close into Duxbury territory as they've been all game. And there it is. It's complete. Flag on the play to Beatty, and he was down at the 16, which is where we were before, but this time the flag is in the defensive secondary.
I'm trying to read the back judge, what his signaling to the referee is.
I want a sandwich or a coffee.
He threw it in the middle of the field as the receiver was coming across and making the catch. There didn't appear to be any kind of contact by the defensive back.
Sometimes in the playoffs, they wire the officials. This is not one of those games.
Don't give me any opportunity to comment about things being wired, because it just won't go well.
Who's coming?
Now what are they calling on? Pointing to Beverly. Now he's pointing behind himself. Now he's pointing to Duxbury. Okay. And the
holding against Duxbury.
But it's a first down.
And it's a first down. But they're spotting the ball, but they're moving the ball back.
It'd be a...
Oh, now they're going to mark. He's getting a lot of exercise.
10, yeah. Don't go there.
I just said he's getting a lot of exercise.
Okay, so it was 10 yards from the... Wait a minute.
But it's defensive holding.
He spotted the defensive holding.
From
he was behind the 10-yard line.
Yeah.
He was inside the 10 when he threw that flag for defensive holding that was 20-plus yards away. What great eyes that man has.
First,
I'm telling you.
First and 10 from the 26 of Duxbury for the Panthers. Trips to the far side. Back is Morenci looking. This time has time to set up. Doesn't have a receiver. Uses the dump off to Flaherty. Flaherty on his feet at the 30. And he is wrestled there by Gooley. Spun around and drilled to the ground. So there'll be a loss of about 4. Which was better than the sack, which would have been back around the 42.
Yeah, Brad back on the linebacker again from the backside, helping out, flowing to the play, help bring him down.
No huddle for the Panthers, and timeout taken here.
Yeah, they get a break and they go backwards. They get a game, they go backwards. There's been no consistent flow to the Beverly offense whatsoever today, and you have to credit the Duxbury defense.
Oh. Yeah, and the size. We talked about the offensive line.
Yeah.
The size of the front and the defense. And the thing I noticed in the... Go ahead, because you're going to say what I was about to say.
Different people. Yeah.
Yeah. When we got the starting lineups, there wasn't anybody that played both ways.
Yep. So now we'll look at number 50, Chris Chasen, 6'5", 270.
Yeah.
We're looking at Aiden DeBenner, 6'4", 280.
Yeah.
These are the guys that I can spot there. He's a linebacker. 31's a linebacker. Let's see. He's 6'5", 205. That's your linebacker.
Yeah.
6'5", 205.
And this is high school.
High school,
they have
yeah.
three or four guys already committed. One of them is going to Harvard. Two of them are going to Williams next year. The ball at the 29-yard line, between the 29 and the 30 on the near hash mark as the Panthers move from left to right with 5:09. To play here in the first half, MIAA Division II North football playoffs.
All right, Barry, a defensive back, is 6'1". Connor Hunt is 6 foot. I mean, all the...
Actually...
This is a junior college team, a JUCO team.
Bobby Memoron is actually out on defense now, looking... It's complete to Callis at the 35, spins at the 30, gets to the 25, breaks the tackle, at the 20, on his feet, runs to the sideline, 10-5, touchdown flag. There's a flag back at the 14-yard line, and I think it's going to be against the Panthers. We'll see. Holding Beverly. So that's how Callis was able to sprint free. As
I just thought he ran over the man at that marking. Block in the back. For every step forward. Yep. And again, that's what you're looking to do. Get one of your big play people, make a big play, and you got it from you, Callis. I mean, I wonder if that kid knows what day it is, because he just leveled
yeah.
him. And again, but number 10.
Oh,
it was Mamron.
Yeah.
Did you see him come up from coverage from the secondary and close on Kalas after he made the reception in the backfield. Unbelievable. Look, he shot out of a cannon. These guys are so fast and so quick, and it's the recognition of the play.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what puts you to the ball as quick as these guys are getting there. They're recognizing the play. They're reacting. They're not thinking. They're reacting.
Second and eight, trips to the far side. Morency with a little bit of time. The time is going fast. He throws it into the corner of the end zone, and it is intercepted in the end zone. Pulled out of the air. The intended receiver is Sam Abadie, I believe, in the far corner, and it is pulled down. I think that may be Mamaron who's got it. Yep. Bobby Mamaron with the interception in the end zone, and Beverly's best scoring chance of the football game thus far goes a-glimmering, and Mamaron will put his team on offense, first and 10 from the 20.
Yeah, I think Renzi may have waited just a second too long to let go of that ball. Abadie got behind Mamaron, but again, underthrown, and Mamaron, recognizing the play, turned around, and the ball just fell into him, and Abadie didn't have a chance to come back and play defensive back and at least knock it down to give Beverly another chance.
So with 4 minutes and 50 seconds to play in the half, it's 27 to nothing, with the Duxbury Dragons on top of the Beverly Panthers. Frankie Towler in the backfield, quarterback Bobby Mamaron hangs onto the football, doesn't see a play open, and Hugh Kellis has got him right by the ankles, trips him up at the 24-yard line, so there's still a gain of four. They'll spot the ball just shy of the 25. We'll call it 4 second and six.
That's the second time Kellis had an opportunity to get in the backfield and make a play on Mamaron, and this time he got him.
Spread, Mamaron hangs onto the football, has a lane, and does the slide into second base. Right about the 34-yard line, he's got the first down. He needed six, and he got about eight.
Yeah, good recognition. He had three Beverly defenders bearing down on him, so he said, you know, he got what he needed, and then just to live to play another day.
4:20 in the clock running in the first half. This time they hand it off to Towler. Towler gets away from a tackle, puts his head down, and gets up to the 45-yard line. And he runs into Kyle Chenard, who was not to be denied. Chenard just put his head right into his chest and drilled him.
Yeah, and number five, Tower was thinking, I'm going to get the better of this deal. I'm going to lower myself. And Kyle just said, no, you're not. And there was a thud, and he stopped.
Mamaron over the 50, down to the 45-yard line, still on his feet, has first down, down to the 42. Squibb through a hole right in front of him, which was opened up by Quinn Murphy. I thought he was down at about the 42, but it's another first down from the 42. I thought he was down around the 47. Oh, the lights came on. Here. Mamaron dumps it near side. It is complete to John Roberts. Roberts tries to turn the corner, and there's nothing there for him. He'll be dropped at the 42 by Hugh Kellis.
Flaherty got a hand on him first, grabbed the shirt and pulled on it, slowed him down, and Kyle came over and finished the job off. So.
Very disciplined team running without any huddle throughout the football game. Set, we'll talk about that in a second. His Mamaron has a little bit of time, fires, finds an open man, and he is slapped around. That'll be incomplete to Dave Colucci. And that is
Abadie.
That's Sam Abadie, who gives up a good foot.
Yeah, he came in and he just threw himself in front of that pass. I thought he'd had an opportunity to pick it, and if he had, it'd have been clear sailing because there was nobody over in that area of the field. But again, I think it was just at the focus at that point was to make the breakup, and it was a great job.
Here's Mamaron rolling right side. Looks batted down. Pass is batted down by Tommy Adams for the Beverly Panthers. And it will set up third down and eight.
Well,
two plays ago, go ahead and finish your thought.
I was going to say, Adams did a great job because he held his contain, he held his area, and as Mamaron rolled to the right, he slid out with him, and as Mamaron went to dump it over him to the receiver who was sitting out the back who had flared out, Adams just went tall, knocked it down, and I interviewed Adams earlier in the year, and that's what they were talking about. Stop, get your hands up, knocked it down, because that would have been a sizable gain, because there really wasn't any coverage on that far side of the field. Is that Mamaron that is down
is.
Right now?
Yeah, I think he got the wind knocked out of him by the way Adams came after him. What I was going to, and it's a couple of plays ago, as we look at the football field, Duxbury is moving from our right to our left. Two plays ago, everything was on the near side. The officials hadn't even picked up the ball to set him back in, and the receivers were already in position on the far side.
Yeah.
It's like, I know what I have to do. I'm not paying any attention to anything that's, you know, there's nothing to see over there. I'm going to work over here.
It's almost like they have a sequence of plays in their heads already that they are going to run on a particular drive. And they just, okay, we're going to run A, B, C, D, and E. Okay, well, we've done A. Let's go to B. And so it's an automatic thing. They just know where they're going to go. Or there's one cue that Mamron gives them. Bang, that's the play.
So yeah. 3 minutes and 16 seconds to play in the half. 27-0 is the lead here. You don't want to look ahead, but Thanksgiving is coming up on Thursday. We have a doubleheader, or actually coverage on both channels. Gloucester and Danvers, and that game is at Gloucester this year? I can't remember. I should know. Anyway, that's our video game.
I think it's at
Danvers. That's our video game on Thanksgiving morning. You will be at Manning Field for English and Classical.
The traditional English Classical get-together, which again, I've mentioned this before I talked to the game. It's kind of lost some of its luster because it's no longer Eastland versus Westland, because kids from Westland go to English and kids from Eastland go to Classical. And now it's the city kind of blurred the lines. So it's Classical versus English. And, you know, again, when we were growing up and I was going to the games, it was just an amazing clash of sides of the city. And it was dominant. Now it's just English Classical to me.
Jack McKim will call the signals as Mamron makes his way over to the far sideline. He's got to sit out at least one play. Here's McKim. Nope. It's the long, deep snap. It was fourth down and seven. And it's a quick kick, and it will go bouncing at the 10, down to the 5, and will be dropped at the 2-3-yard line. He's lost track of the downs there.
I thought that was almost going to be blocked because he ran so far to the sideline, and the Beverly Catane man, they read it, and they had a man up and a man below covering the back that was scooting out just in case it was a throw. I thought the Beverly player may have gotten a hand on it, but of course, you know, when things are going your way, things go your way. I'm sorry, it was a great kick. He got it clear. It stayed in the field of play. And again, it took the Duxbury roll, and they grabbed it inside the 5. So Beverly, not a lot of time and a long way to go.
3 minutes, 6 seconds to play in the half. Also on Thanksgiving, I'll be at the Beverly-Salem game from Hurd Stadium. And we will, on the English Classical game, that'll also be our scoreboard, as we'll be keeping an eye pretty much on everything that's going around on high school football.
You know, I'm just watching a replay of the play where Mamron got hurt.
Ah, instant replay.
I know, really.
Morenci takes the handoff, rolls to the right side, and will get up to about the 2-yard line. So the line of scrimmage is the 4. He gets to the 2. At least he's out of his own end zone, but he loses 2, and it's 2nd and 12.
Let me give you a look at this. He barely hits him.
Huh.
He barely hits him, and not sure.
Yeah.
And then he just
struggled. Yep. Yeah.
So yeah. I don't know if it's just an odd way that he stepped. He may have wrenched the back.
Working from his own end zone, Kevin Morenci takes the snap, rolls back. The quick dump pass is batted down. Batted down into the end zone by Joe Gooley, who has had a tremendous game on defense in the first half.
Yeah, and even if that pass was complete, Mike Barry had coverage there. He had slid over, and tackle would have been made immediately. Probably would have been no gain on that particular play. So,
temperature starting to drop as the sun has set behind us. Lights on here at Cawley Stadium, 27-0.
And I'm still wearing my shorts and Phil caved.
Ah. Yeah, I'll be looking for your legs to turn blue here in about 10 minutes. Again from his own end zone now, 3rd down and 12 for Morenci. Fires, almost deflected, pulled down by Callis, and he will be wrestled out of bounds at the 9-yard line. So it is going to be short of the first down, but at least it gives Beverly some breathing room. And it will be 3rd down now, or make that 4th down, at the 11-yard line.
And we had joined in the box by Coach Bauer.
Ah.
Thank you, Coach.
We've got timeout on the field taken here, too.
I've just been assaulted by Coach Bauer.
Yep, one more flight of stairs for you, Coach.
I didn't try to walk it, so you're on your own.
2 minutes, 7 seconds to play here in the first half, 27-0. They're the ceiling must be very low because everybody I see who walks upstairs is kind of doing the Hunchback of Notre Dame thing. So Beverly finds themselves with fourth down. They need to get to the 14, and they're on the 9, so it's fourth and a long 5, and Luke Samperi will be kicking from his own end zone. They send Mike Barry out to the 46-yard line, and he is joined out there by John Roberts for Duxbury. Respecting Samperi's leg, they roll back to the 50. Samperi will be kicking from the soccer stripe in the end zone. Laces up, takes a stutter step, and puts it into the air. It will bounce at midfield, and it will be fielded at his own 47-yard line by Mike Barry. Turns the corner. He's into Beverly territory. Strings it out on the far sideline. Gets away from a tackle. Cuts back in, and he's finally drilled at the 21-yard line. He fielded at the 45, gets it to the 21-yard line, so it is 29 and 5. It's a 34-yard punt return. First big return of the football game, I think, for Duxbury.
Yeah, he took and Zimperi waited because there was no rush, so he waited and then had the kick, and that just gave his coverage team a little extra time to get down the field. But boy, what a job by Barry. He caught it on the hash marks on near side to us and went across the field and just outran the coverage and got some outstanding blocks. Got some outstanding blocks on the backside and was able to turn the corner.
Think about this. The line of scrimmage was the 17, and he got it to the 45 going the other way. So first and 10. Memeron's back in the game. He's at the 22 and fires it into the end zone. All alone, touchdown. All alone, James Miley.
Again, great move at the goal line. He did a stutter and then went to the post. And again, the Beverly defense bit on the fake. Memeron knew what he was going to do and just lofted it longer. And he runs right underneath the pass, again, 3 or 4 yards behind the defender. And another touchdown, 33-0 with 1:43 left to go in the half.
Ben Carver on to do the kicking.
We're going to have Phil Stacy.
Good. We are getting feedback here.
We'll have Phil Stacy on at halftime. He'll do his stats.
The kick is good.
Which are going to be a little heavy to Duxbury.
As Ben Carver's kick is good, and we move to 34 to nothing with 1:43 to play here in the first half. You're on Division II North MIAA football playoffs on MSONewsSports.com.
Many aspects of estate planning are interrelated, and you can turn to attorney Bob Madruga for full-service estate planning to help you develop a comprehensive plan in providing for your future. Bob will work with you through the years to adapt your plan as needed, and he can assist you with managing wills, trusts, probate, and taxes. Visit the law offices of Robert J. Madruga at 128 Main Street, Gloucester, or call today for an appointment at 978-283-6883.
Carver set to kick off. The ball is teed at the 44-yard line. 1:03 to play in the first half. Beverly will get the football back. Abatey at the 15 to the near side. Chenard to the left side. It's a little bit of a pooch kick, and it comes to Abatey at the 20. He's at the 25. Goes back to the far side, and he's going to actually be pushed back to about the 21-yard line. Then drilled back there.
Number 9, Quinn Schomp on the coverage. Again, just took a great angle, and just you have to be so impressed with the overall team speed of Duxbury. Their linebackers, their secondary, their coverage people. I mean, they just swarm to the ball, and they run around potential blockers.
Dare I say, we have not seen a team this complete in years of us working together.
I haven't seen a team like this since the 2008 Super Bowl when Gloucester took on Duxbury.
That would be this same school.
Yes, it is. And I said it then, it was the best high school team I had seen to that point. And there's a reason why these guys are number one.
Here's Morenci looking, fires. Callis does not hold on to the football at about the 19-yard line. Had he held on to it, he didn't have any place to go with it and actually probably would have lost a few yards.
Four white shirts. He went up to try to catch it, and there were four white shirts waiting for him.
That's Mike Barry,
number
who's
six,
putting on pressure, Joe Gooley,
number 20,
Tom McGoldrick,
and number 32,
Brad Backlund.
Again, Backlund is playing on the, he's playing the middle right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, before he was listed at the outside.
So Beverly on second and 10 from their own 22-yard line. And in trouble is Morency. He's got to hold on to the ball, and he's not going to get back to the line of scrimmage. He heard the footsteps behind him, but it wasn't going to do him any good. Jack McKim has him dropped for the loss of about 3 yards, and we're going to call it 3rd and 13 with 1:15 in the clock running here in the first half.
I don't know how McKim get on the team. He's only 5'10", 175. He's got to bulk up over the winter.
Yeah. Needs to spend some time on the rack, get a little taller.
A little taller, a little heavier. Jeez. And, but if, you know, he's playing linebacker, so all he's got to do is split out. And again, he uses that difference in speed to get inside.
Defensive ends shift. Beverly puts Chouinard in motion from left to right. 45 seconds, 3rd down and 13 for the Panthers. This time there is time, but the ball is thrown over the Beverly sideline, over the bench on the near side.
And guess who was putting pressure, driving Flaherty back into the quarterback? Was number 4, Jack McKim. Again, great upper body strength, just getting into Flaherty's chest and just kept pushing him backwards. And Morency, again, with his vision probably blocked a little bit, overthrew the intended receiver on the sideline.
Very quiet crowd in front of us as we're on the home side, which is the Beverly side, here at Cawley Stadium in Lowell. One of the busiest people in this football game has been Luke Samperi for the Panthers, and now he will punt from his own 5-yard line. Two receivers at the 45 waiting for the punt. The laces are up. The kick is very high but not very deep and takes a big bounce at the 35, rolls back, and will roll out of bounds at about the 33-yard line.
Well, the only advantage is it took a lateral turn and rolled in a straight line towards the sideline for Beverly.
So with 27 seconds and a 34-point lead, the Duxbury Dragons are at the Beverly 34-yard line, call it the 33, 1st and 10. And Bobby Mameron with his team with 5 touchdowns thus far in this football game. All alone in the backfield, an empty backfield, 2 receivers near, 3 receivers far. And he laterals it, and they fire it down into the end zone. A little razzle-dazzle, and does he have it, or is it pulled away by the Panthers? And Beverly has made the interception in the end zone.
Wow, a skip. They threw a skip pass. Lateral. He threw it backwards. It skipped to the end zone. It skipped to the wide receiver, who then threw the pass down the field. The receiver, the intended. Now, what are they calling?
Well, what are they calling here? Because Kyle Chouinard had the football.
And Duxbury was jumping up and down in the end zone. So I'm not sure. They're over there thinking they're scored.
I think we've got a... No, is Beverly's going to... Yeah, Beverly's going on offense. 1st and 10 from the 20.
They're slapping hands like they scored a touchdown. But somebody better tell the kids on the Duxbury side they haven't scored. All right, but great play by Chouinard. It was a completed pass as initially when it got to the receiver, but Chouinard was just not to be denied. Again, just ripped the ball away, and the official was quick to indicate that it was a touchback and Beverly ball.
Morency holds on to the football, gets to the 20, still on his feet at the 25, very punishing 5 yards for Kevin Morency. Nick Guerin has him by the ankles and drills him down. And you're not going to win the battle there against Quinn Murphy.
And the half is going to run out.
So with 22 minutes of football to play, 22 in the score in the books, it is 34 for Duxbury and none for Beverly from Cawley Stadium in Lowell, MIAA Division II North. High school football playoffs on MSONewsSports.com.
The Gloucester House Restaurant at historic Seven Seas Wharf, 63 Rogers Street, Gloucester. This is owner Lenny Linquata.
We provide service and product better than anybody else. It comes directly from our boats right to your plate. We have fishermen that work great for us. We are wholesalers that we buy what we want to serve to our customers, and we put the rest of it right out in the market.
The Gloucester House Restaurant. Visit thegloucesterhouse.com.
This is the freshest seafood you can get from our boats to your plate.
For team uniforms and your business's corporate apparel, choose Sarkisian Sportswear Route 1 South in Peabody. Why Sarkisians? It's quality. Owner Sarkis Sarkisian.
Quality is not only the type of apparel you get and the cleanliness and the professionalism that's used in making that. The quality is in the customer service that we provide from the beginning to the end of the whole process of getting you the type of apparel or uniforms that you're looking for.
Sarkisian Sportswear, Route 1 South, Peabody, SarkisianSports.com.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're thinking of replacing the windows in your home, I can understand the confusion you may be experiencing. TV, radio, and newspapers are simply filled with replacement window advertising, all promising everything under the sun and then some. At Moynihan Lumber, we offer no gimmicks, just quality products, competitively priced, sold to you by a professional salesperson who really knows what he's talking about. That's Moynihan Lumber in North Reading, Beverly, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at moynihanlumber.com.
Score early and often this fall with a low-rate residential loan from the Institution for Savings. The Institution for Savings has fantastic rates, low or no fees, great service, and prompt turnaround. Plus, we service our mortgages in-house, so help is always a local phone call away. For more information or to apply online 24/7, visit institutionforsavingsloans.com or call us at 978-462-2344. Institution for Savings, member FDIC and DIF, equal housing lender.
Score early and often this fall with a low-rate residential loan from the Institution for Savings. The Institution for Savings has fantastic rates, low or no fees, great service, and prompt turnaround. Plus, we service our mortgages in-house, so help is always a local phone call away. For more information or to apply online 24/7, visit institutionforsavingsloans.com or call us at 978-462-2344. Institution for Savings, member FDIC and DIF, equal housing lender.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We'll treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Now the legend of Bobby Memmer on the quarterback for Duxbury just continues to grow. Troy Flutie in 2012 set the record of touchdown passes at 112. Mamaron needed one last week to break it. He scored three, so he has 114 coming into this game. He's thrown three more touchdown passes here to make it 117, and his Duxbury Dragons lead this football game by a score of 34-0. Duxbury had the football to start the game, and Mamaron found John Roberts with 7 minutes and 5 seconds to play in the first quarter on a 38-yard touchdown strike, made it 6-0. Ben Carver's point after attempt was good. That was a 33-yard touchdown drive after Beverly turned the ball over on downs. Beverly unsuccessful on their next possession. Mamaron found Reagan for a touchdown pass. It's 13-0. Ben Carver's kick is good, and we end the first quarter with a score of 14-0 with 8:43 to play in the first half. An 8-yard touchdown run for Bobby Mamaron on the keeper made it 20-0. Carver's kick is good, and we're at 21-0 just a couple minutes and 17 seconds into the second quarter. Mike Barry, a 55-yard interception return for Duxbury. There we go. Much better. Mike Barry, 55-yard interception return for a touchdown, makes it 27-0. Beverly's defense on special teams blocks the kick, and it's 27-0 with 7:39 to play in the first half. James Miley, a 22-yard touchdown reception for Mamaron, makes it 33-0, and Carson's kick is good. It's 34-0 with 1:43 to play here in the first half. And that's the way the half comes to a close, 34-0. With Duxbury leading Beverly, the winner of this one goes on to play against the winner of Shrewsbury and Wakefield a couple of weeks from today at Gillette Stadium. Halftime here on the Moynihan Lumber Halftime Report. I'm Marty Smith. Tim Kearns is alongside, and we'll be back from Cawley Stadium in Lowell, where our halftime score is the Duxbury Dragons 34, and the Beverly Panthers, nothing. You're on MSONewsSports.com.
The Gloucester House Restaurant at historic Seven Seas Wharf, 63 Rogers Street, Gloucester. This is owner Lenny Linquata.
We provide service and product better than anybody else. It comes directly from our boats right to your plate. We have fishermen that work great for us. We are wholesalers that we buy what we want to serve to our customers, and we put the rest of it right out in the market.
The Gloucester House Restaurant. Visit thegloucesterhouse.com.
This is the freshest seafood you can get from our boats to your plate.
Halftime here at Cawley Stadium with the Panthers trailing by a score of 34 to nothing. Phil Stacey will join us in just a little bit. We'll talk about Thanksgiving coming up this week, and our coverage on MSO News Sports begins Thanksgiving morning. On one side, we will have Gloucester and Danvers. That'll be our video game for Thanksgiving Day, as Coach Paul Ingram and Rick Moore will have the play coverage of that one. Kickoff of that game is at 10 o'clock. And on the other side, from Manning Field in Lynn, it will be Tim Kearns and Bill Newell bringing you the play-by-play of that game. And I'll be at Hurd Stadium in Beverly. We'll let you know what's going on with Beverly and Salem. Following the game, we'll have the post-game interviews and press conferences. They'll get posted a little bit later Thanksgiving morning here on our site. And throughout the morning, we're going to do the Thanksgiving Day football scoreboard, as well as doing classical and English, as we're going to keep Tim Kearns very, very busy monitoring all of the feeds from around eastern Massachusetts. And I would dare say that 2 weeks from today, we will have some presence in Foxborough, as the Marblehead Magicians are waiting to find out who they're going to play in the Division 2A championship game.
Yeah, that should be an exciting game. Again, the Magicians undefeated to this point, and again, they have been playing very, 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 very good football. And you know, it's a great time. It's a great experience for the kids. I think Beverly's season ends today at the hands of Duxbury. And you know, there's no shame in losing to a really, really good team. Duxbury's been on a roll. They're a machine. I mean. We talked about just how efficiently they have played so far in this game. So we're not going to say the game is over, because we know how Beverly plays in the second half. But this is a different animal that they're playing. And joining me now is Phil Stacey, the sports editor of the Salem News. And Phil, again, before we get to the game analysis, again, I talked to you about it before the game. But yep. Just again, kudos to you for the pieces that you've written this week on the Beverly plays, looking at the captains.
Oh,
and it has just been such great writing, and I hope at some point, I know Maddie's been recognized, I hope sometime they've got to step up and they've got to recognize the quality of what you have produced, especially this past year has been some of the best stuff that I have read. I don't want to say that because we've become friends over the years, but it is just, it's like you get to know the individual player and on such another another level, not just the athlete, but the personal level of what the kid's thinking and what they've gone through. It just adds another depth, another level to the understanding of the student athletes in the area. So I want to congratulate you on such great stuff.
Well, thank you. That's very nice of you to say, and it certainly helps when you have great kids to deal with, not just the ball players, but they're good contributing young men. Do their civic duty and, good in school, and the coaches at Beverly High, as all of our coaches are very affable to us and all, so it certainly makes our job a lot easier, but thank you for saying that.
Certainly, and again, I look forward so much to what's coming up on you guys, and the way your sports section gives each writer space.
Oh, yeah.
To produce these kind of works, because a lot of local newspapers you just get short pieces,
yeah,
because they get to get a lot of different stuff, and you guys have really taken the time to develop the story, research the story, develop the story, and present just this great insight into so many different athletes and different sports in the area.
Well, again, thanks. I mean, this time of year is good because with fewer and fewer teams left playing in the state tournament, we're able to expound on those that are still playing. You had Masconomet boys soccer in the state final early this afternoon. Obviously, Beverly this week, playing today.
And Marblehead, obviously, we know is going to a Super Bowl against Falmouth, so we'll be doing the same type thing. And, of course, you have Thanksgiving next week, and some people say, you know, maybe it's not the big deal it used to be before this playoff system. But, you know, we still like to treat it like a big deal and, you know, get those guys their day in the sun, especially the seniors who will be playing their final game. So we're looking forward to that next week.
Yeah, and I said earlier, you know, I mean, Marblehead and Swampscott have a lot to play for. Swampscott, you know, wants to knock off Marblehead.
Of course.
You want, and that's bragging rights. I mean, you're side by side, and it's in a way, it's personal.
Oh, of course.
Every year, it's personal. Yeah. And it draws just huge crowds of alumni back in because they want to see their side win. And I said, you know, the classical English game that we'll be covering as well has sort of taken a step back in my eyes because the Lynn schools have been opened up. So you got West Lynn kids and East Lynn kids in West Lynn, where it used to be, again, neighborhood against neighborhood.
Right.
There was a delineation of East Lynn and West Lynn, and that was bragging rights. It was like Swampscott Marblehead, there's that line. Beverly Salem, there's that line.
Yeah, right.
You know, East Lynn, West Lynn, there was that line. Now that line has been erased. And certainly while it is a great Thanksgiving tradition, it just sort of lacks some of that pizzazz that it used to have.
Well, there's not that, if you can still say this word, there's not that hatred anymore that there used to be. And I say that if it's possible to say that in a positive sense. I say that in a positive sense. Knowing
it's the incentive to go out there and trash the other team.
Right, in a scholastic way that you hate your opponents.
Right.
I've always felt that's a good thing because it brings out the best in both teams. And maybe that's not the way that we say things in 2016 anymore. But I don't know. I think the fans like it. The players like it. It makes for better games. You know, so...
Exactly. Okay, let's turn our attention to what we've seen in the first half. Duxbury is as advertised.
And more. They're huge, first off. I mean, that's the first thing that strikes you. They have any number of guys who are bigger than Beverly's biggest linemen. They get after the quarterback real well. Kevin Morency hasn't had much time to set up in the pocket at all. Ferocious pass rush. They run such precise routes offensively. Smart. You've obviously been well-schooled and drilled repeatedly over this. But Mamaron is able to set up in the pocket, look for his options, find the open man, and not only find the open man, but get him the ball in space. When Beverly went for it on that fourth down early in the game, I think they knew that they had to do something to try and spark the team, spark the offense, maybe catch Duxbury off guard. Of course, that didn't work. Duxbury scores three plays later, and it's been all Green Dragons since then.
Yeah, and even that first touchdown was almost like a broken play. He was looking downfield. He was Beverly got great
flushed out right.
Great pursuit, flushed to the sideline, throws an absolute perfect pass down the sideline that the receiver stretches out for.
Yeah.
Stays in the air long enough to get into the end zone and drop the ball down. It's like... it's tough seeing that on the collegiate and the pro level, that kind of effort.
As talented as Mamaron, the quarterback, is, I think his receivers are fantastic, too. I mean, number one is an absolute beast there, Reagan.
Yep.
6'4", going to Harvard, great hands. On that second touchdown, Mamaron hit him in stride. He beat two Beverly defenders and never stopped running.
Right.
I mean, he just kept going straight
down
the sidelines. And then, you know, of course, then you got an interception return and, you know, things just... It just hasn't been Beverly's day. So what you try to do for Beverly, you try to win the second half. That's the goal at this point. I think it's different than Billerica last week, where you're still in the game at that point. You know, 18-0. You're getting the ball to start the second half, as they are here. Down three touchdowns is one thing. Down five touchdowns to this team, I'm not so sure that comeback's in the cards today.
You know, I wonder what Tommy Walsh, the assistant coach for Gloucester, was thinking, because he was part of the coaching staff in 2008 when Gloucester went to Gillette and they lost to Duxbury in the Super Bowl. And the score was closer, but still it was just such a dominant effort. And I said at the time, best high school team I'd ever seen.
They're certainly well coached. I mean, the quarterback's father is Dave Mamaron. He coaches this team. Obviously, he's got some terrific assistant coaches. I mean, just look at that sideline. As you said, that is bigger than a lot of the colleges we see around here. You know, I mean, they don't have anybody that plays both ways. It's just a well-run, well-drilled powerhouse of a team.
Monty made the point earlier that they go to the line, they don't huddle.
Right.
They go right to the line and they execute plays, and it's one run after the other. And there was one play where the official was setting ball and the wide receivers were already on the far side of the field, lined
up.
You're
talking
about. We're thinking that they must have just a block of plays. Okay, we're going to run block C. Play one. Here it is. Everybody goes and does it. And so they just block C.
And it doesn't give the defense time to adjust or react or whatnot. But, hey, you know what? It's been a great season for Beverly. It's not over yet. They still have a half to go here and then Thanksgiving. So let's see what they can do.
Excellent. Thank you, Phil.
Thanks, guys.
All right, it's been Phil Stacey, sports editor of the Salem News, joining us at halftime. We're about to start here. And we get Dan Bauer. So I'm going to let Dan step in here. And Kyle's... Go ahead, buddy.
Kyle Chenard takes the opening kickoff and returns it up to the 35-yard line.
Thanks, man. I appreciate
it. Okay. We got Dan Bauer standing in here. I'm going to watch the game a little bit here. Coach, the Beverly's down 34 to nothing here. You're in the locker room at halftime. What are you doing with the guys?
Well, you're playing for pride right now. You know, when they came out through that skip pass to end the half, they didn't have to do that.
Yeah.
You just rally around on that piece. And what I try to do right now is just go down by down. I mean, the last 2 weeks they've been down at the half, but they managed to come back. It's a big margin right now. But try to get some ball control here and kind of steady yourself. And I wouldn't go too fast right now. I would just try to get a good drive, get a good score, get some confidence, and then really take it to them.
First and 10 for Beverly from the 35, and it's complete to Abatey up over the line of scrimmage at the 40, wrestled around out of bounds at the 42.
So Beverly, hey, I'm going to ask if you guys can hear me. Did Beverly at times try to go too fast? I mean, Morenci's knew they were behind and he had to make something happen. Did they rush some plays that they didn't have to do?
They probably did, and this is the type of team that are so opportunistic that they just... You know, they don't need much time to score, and sometimes you want to keep the ball away from them, and as we say, sometimes a good offense is a good defense.
Here's Morenci, spun around at the 40, didn't have anybody open downfield. He'll lose about two, and it will set up third down and five. And one of the more trite things is when people say you have to play within yourself, but that's kind of what you're saying, is that Beverly's got to maintain their poise or professionalism or whatever.
That's right.
And stay with the plays and not hurry themselves and not take the penalties. And right as we said that, Morenci gets nailed, and he'll be dropped back at the 28. So it's fourth down, and Luke Samperi will come back out onto the field as the line of scrimmage will be the 28, and they need to get to the 45.
Morenci got nailed. There were four guys. There was a jailhouse break on that particular blitz, and he's feeling the effects of it right now. He's slow to get up. He's up now, but he'll remember that hit. Those hits for a while.
Yeah, they're putting their ears back a little bit here and just going straight up man and bringing it right to them, you know.
Ball at the 29-yard line, Luke, and it's fourth down and about 15.
So and one of the things, too, Dan, is Beverly has not been able to take advantage of the big plays that they've managed to make. Kyle Shannon's make big returns. They have not been able to take advantage of the good field position that they've had on the desperate side of the 50.
Right. They had those two great kick returns that kind of went for naught. And Hugh Calise's huge play, one of the best effort plays I've seen this year, came back on a penalty, unfortunately.
Robertson Barry back for the punt. Great hang time, and it is fielded by Roberts, but he is drilled as Beverly gets back down to make the stop there, and that's Eric DiPietro of the Panthers.
Now, why was the play thrown that play? Because it was a block in the back on a baby. Was it Beatty who made the tackle there?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, as he was going to make, he got inside, it was a block in the back, he made the tackle, and the sideline just looked at that. That's a flag. There should have been another 10 yards going backwards on that play. Not,
sorry.
The call not made.
First and 10 from the 26-yard line, their own 26 for Duxbury. And I'm going to expect that we're going to see Bobby Mameron come out to start the second half on offense, and we will. So with a 34-point lead, 9:48 to play here in the third quarter, all of the starters remain in for Duxbury. And here's the handoff to Towler, and he will go to the line and get maybe 3 yards. Very hard-fought yards, though, too. Beverly's closed up a little bit, but every time he gets the ball, he just keeps on churning.
They do, and one thing that Duxbury is doing a good job with is they're counting the guys in the box. So if there's not enough guys, they're going to run it. If they put an extra guy in, they're going to throw it. Be interesting to see if they just try to choose some clock here.
Mameron, back, looks, fires downfield, coming back after the ball, and it's batted down by Chenard. the intended receiver.
And that's what you need right there, too. That stops the clock, puts them at third and long here. They make one more, make them punt, get the ball. They should get decent field position out of this if they pull off the stop here.
John. Great read by Schnatt on that play as well. He looked at Southern Seymour, he looked back, found the ball, and with his left hand, knocked the ball down.
Great play.
So third down and 8. Again, running out of no huddle, but this time they have plenty of time before they get ready to put the ball into play, the spread offense. Two to either side. Teller in the backfield with Mamaron. Mamaron takes the two-step drop, looks, fires downfield. He's got a pass a little overthrown.
That's big.
For David Colucci, so it's fourth down.
Stops the clock right there. They should get good field position. That's really, really big play. That's their first real stop they've had in a while here. Build the confidence and keep going.
Coach Dan Bauer is with us. Fourth down, punting situation. This might be the second punt, maybe, of the football game.
They run that rugby style, too. Let's see if they bring somebody off the edge.
There's the snap, and it's Mamaron. He gets it. Doesn't have a lot of hang time. Bounces at the 45. Takes a Duxbury roll back to the 36-yard line, where it'll be first and 10. One of the things, Coach, we were talking about in the first half that we noticed is that Duxbury seems to have the plays called in advance, because there have been some times where the official's spotting the ball and the receivers away from the ball are already in position, like they know what the play's going to be.
Exactly. They have a series of guys on the sidelines making the signals, and right when that gets placed, they know where they're going. So the formation is already called out to them. And then the quarterback's checking to make sure in the box if that's going to work for them.
First and 10 for Kevin Morency and the Beverly Panthers. 9 minutes and 3 seconds in the third quarter. 34-0 Duxbury. Game coming to you from Lowell. Trips to the near side now for Beverly. Morency has Chouinard in the backfield with him. Has a little time. Steps back. Fires under pressure. And it's complete to Chouinard. Chouinard at the 35 and up to the 39-yard line. So he moved a long way back, a long way forward, and gets about 3 yards out of it.
Well, with the screen, they hit that earlier in the game. But right now, they're just pinning their ears back, hoping to get one over the top of them. This is a big down right here for him. Just chip away, get close enough to get that first down.
And of course, Dan, what's also happened to Beverly throughout the course of the game is they get a good chunk on first down, 4, 5, 6 yards. Next play, 3 yard loss. Second down has really been a bugaboo for them throughout the game.
And I'm not sure how many first downs they had in the first half.
From their own 39 on second and 8 for the Panthers, send the trips to the far side. Callis in formation to the near side. The handoff goes to Abatey, and he'll get to the 41-yard line. Nothing doing there.
No, they kept a lot of guys in the box there. I thought they were going to throw it. They had one too many to block.
Third down. Ball at the 42, and they need to get to the 47, so it's third and a long 5. You've moved on from Beverly. You're now the principal in Marblehead. It's got to be a different feeling for you in your position now, watching what's happening to your team.
It's definitely different, and I'm a much better coach here in the box, that's for sure. Make some good calls up here.
On third down, dump it off to Chouinard. Wants to reverse, and he gets away from a tackle, fires it, and it's complete. It is complete up to Abatey to the 44. So the gain after all of that is about 2, and it'll be fourth down. But Chouinard's able to get away from a tackle. Otherwise, that thing would have been fourth down and 20.
Yeah, and that's what you were talking about earlier, too. You know, obviously you want to make something happen and pull together. Just try to go at him, get that first down. We'll see what they're doing here. Looks like they're going to go for it.
Fourth and 4. They're at their own 43-yard line. They trail by 34, really. What have you got to lose? So fourth and 4 for the Panthers. The ball on the right hash mark as they move from left to right. The shadows are long from behind us, going across field. Abatey, Chouinard to the left, Callis to the right. And Morency's pass goes over the head of the intended receiver. Good coverage back there by Riley Bergstrom. Dan
I'm going to head back now.
Appreciate you stopping by.
Awesome. And thanks for all your coverage all year. Great to see you guys. You do such a great job. Thank you.
Thanks, Dan. Good luck next week.
Thank you.
At 6 minutes and 36 seconds to play here in the third quarter, and it will be first and 10 for Bobby Mamaron. if he comes out to start this at the 43-yard line of Beverly. So first and 10 from the 43 of Beverly for Duxbury, and they send Mamaron back into the game, all the starters. Normally you look for clean jerseys, but it's turf here, so everybody's clean at this point in the game. Teller, single back in the backfield. Mamaron looks, rolls out, has time, has pressure now, fires it downfield and leads it up, and it is complete into the hands of Jack Jacobson, and he will be down at the 6-yard line. So it'll be first and goal from the 6 for Duxbury.
I'm apoplectic because I'm watching the referee watch Dominic Beatty rush the quarterback, and one of the running back grabs the Beatty by the shoulder and is pulling on his pad, on his jersey, and no call. Where's the call? Holding.
First and goal. Mamaron fires. It's batted down. So it'll be second and goal from the 6.
Tommy Adams again, maybe?
Tommy Adams, I think, yep.
May have been Gavin. Nope. It was not. It was, Marshawn. Marshawn, 28.
Yes. Second and goal from the Beverly 6 for the Duxbury Dragons. 6 minutes and 7 seconds to play here, third quarter. Direct snap now. Around and hit is Frankie Towler. They did the direct snap to Towler back at the 6, and we could hear the helmet crash from up here. So there's no gain on the play, and it'll be third and goal from the 6.
UCal has just came up and just rammed him like a battering ram and dropped him at the 5-yard line.
Temperature dropping when the sun went down, and now we're seeing people huddling under blankets.
And now Phil is laughing at me because I blew my shots.
And you will be down talking. You'll be on the field at the end of the game.
Oh, yeah.
I'll be watching you shiver from up here. Here's Mamaron tucking the ball in. He's at the 5, spins around, and gets into the end zone. A walk in the park for Bobby Mamaron and his second quarterback keeper of the football game, and the score moves to 40-0 on a 6-yard touchdown keeper. With 5:22 to play in the third,
what Beverly has to do with this much time left again, and the score going against if against them in a large way at this point, is maintaining composure. Don't lose sight. It's a game. There's nothing to be gained by losing control of your emotions, and because that'll be the only thing that people will remember if you get out of control. And you cause a scene. So, and I know Coach Marenci has probably talked to his team about that as well.
That kick might have been deflected, but it's good. So with Carver's extra point being good, the score moves up to 41-0 on MIAA Division II North Championship Weekend here from Cawley Stadium in Lowell on MSONewsSports.com.
People come in, take a seat. You're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night. Satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Sam Abatey and Kyle Chenard back at the 10, waiting the kickoff following the touchdown that makes it 41-0 here. Touchdown in the point after. As Carver approaches the football, puts his leg into it. It's a low liner, and it bounces at the 10. It's picked up by Chenard at the 5. Gets back up to the 10. Gets away from a tackle. No, he gets horse-collared. He still gets up and gets to the 13-yard line, make it the 14-yard line for Kyle Chenard for the Beverly Panthers, and where it will be first and 10 for the Panthers from their own 14 with 5 minutes and 13 seconds to play in the third quarter.
Kyle has never given up on a play, whether it's offense or defense, and he's one of the tougher guys to bring down on the Beverly offense because he just never stops twisting, turning, and trying to break a tackle to make something happen.
So for first and 10 for the Panthers from their own 14-yard line. 5:13, clock stopped here, third quarter. Chris Cole checks into the game for Beverly. He may be bringing the play call in from the near sideline as well. send Cole wide out to the left side, which is the short side of the field. Put a motion man into the near side, and it's handed off to Abatey. Abatey runs the string out, tries to turn up at the 15, gets to the 17. So a lot of movement from left to right and 2 yards moving up. So it will be second and 8 for the Panthers. Give them 3, second and 7, and the ball is at the Beverly 18-yard line.
Did you do a head count of the group of Duxbury players that were walking away from that tackle? Five.
Yep.
Five guys.
Yep.
Not a one-man effort. It's just group speed, and it's just closing. Oof.
4 minutes, 42 seconds. Now the clock running. 41 to nothing is the score, with Duxbury on top of Beverly. Beverly faces Salem this coming Thursday, 10 o'clock from Hurd Stadium. We'll be keeping you posted on that. Chouinard, single receiver to the near side. The big pitch goes to Abatey. Abatey gets to the 20, spun around and drilled at the 23-yard line. Dropped there by Joe Gooley.
That could
and
be close.
It's going to be very close.
Very close. It's been on the spot, and they're going to get a really bad spot. Oh, let's see.
It's still going to be short, but it's third in the nose. Well, no, they're signaling. What? They're going to bring it. No, they're giving him a first down on it.
Wow.
It's a must be the angle.
You're telling me.
From up here, 3:49 clock stop with the movement of the chains. They get him settled and wind the clock back up. Still the first unit of the defense out there for Duxbury. There's a lot of seniors on this team.
Yeah, and you got a lot of players in the sideline who are probably thinking, boy, I would like to get in the game. But again, that we still get the fourth quarter for that.
From the eye, here's Chouinard, and he'll get up to the 30-yard line. 1, 2, 3 white jerseys. Wrap him up and drill him down. Riley Bergstrom out of the backfield. Off the tackle along with Rick Guerin.
Yeah, and it's just like a layered defense. You've got the defensive line, and then you've got the linebackers closing in. And you look, and then there's a line of the secondary just right behind them waiting to make a play in case he gets past that.
Gain of 6, second and 4. For the Panthers now. 3 minutes clock running here, third quarter, 41 to nothing, Duxbury on top. They play Marshfield on Thanksgiving.
You starting that again?
I know. Here I go. The handoff goes to Abatey. Gets a little bit of a block, has to turn the corner. He's in his own backfield and can't turn up the far sideline. And he will be dropped for a loss back to the 25. It's that same play where Abatey's got the ball. Last time he ran to his right, and was able to turn up. This time, he ran to the long side of the field, which was to his left, and brought the white jerseys with him and never was able to turn up.
Yeah. There's just so much. When Beverly starts to play, it's almost like Duxbury waits and sees who's got the ball in what direction, and then the defense flows to it. The second, your linebackers and your secondary are waiting to see where the play goes, and then they just spread it out and they use that closing speed and they just cut off the lanes.
Third and 8, the back's in the eye. Abatey's the single receiver. The pitch goes to Chouinard. Chouinard gets up to the 25, head down and up to the 30. So he will be short of the first down. He needed to get to the 34. So it'll set up fourth down and 4 for the Panthers.
And again, I was just on that play. I watched the linebackers in the secondary, and they barely moved. They hopped, and then when they saw Chouinard coming to their left with the ball, that's when they flowed. They all flowed together with spacing. Nobody was running together. The spacing, and to cover the cutback lanes. If he cuts back, he's cutting away from one, but he's moving into the other guy.
Fourth and 4 for the Panthers at their own 30. They need to get to the 34. Abatey wide to the left side. The backs are in the eye with Flaherty and Chouinard. And they hand the ball off to Chouinard, and he will get at least 3. He may have the 4.
Ooh, let's see
where they mark it. I think they're going to give him the 35.
He rolled over the tackler and got his front shoulder and the ball down. Again, he just does not stop. He does not want to give up. He is a guy who really plays on his emotions.
I think that may be the only drive of this game where Beverly's had 2 first downs.
I might agree with that. If Phil was closer to us, we could check on that, but I think you're right. Well, again, because they spent so many times with, making a good gain on first down, only to go backwards on second downs.
just shy of the 34 for the Panthers on first and 10. Hand it off to Abatey. Abatey gets on the outside, and he's spun around. I thought he was able to break the lane to the near sideline, but instead he was grabbed from behind by Brad Backlund, spun and dropped. Riley Bergstrom in to help. And it's not a bad pickup. It's a pickup of 3, and it's 2nd and 7. 15 seconds to play in the third quarter, and the clock continues to run here. I don't know if we'll actually get the snap off. And they don't have far to move the ball. It's on the 38-yard line of the Panthers. They will break the huddle. Parasella will get down over the football. And that will be the end of the third quarter. So after three quarters, the Duxbury Dragons have opened up a 41-0 lead over the Beverly Panthers on MIAA Division II Football Championship and MSONewsSports.com.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're thinking of replacing the windows in your home, you should look at the Anderson Woodright double-hung insert window, which comes with rich wood interiors in oak, pine, or maple. Quite simply, Anderson is the most trusted window in America. That's why we've been selling them for 57 years. Please see the Anderson Woodright windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
The Gloucester House Restaurant at Historic Seven Seas Wharf, 63 Rogers Street, Gloucester. This is owner Lenny Linquata.
We provide service and product better than anybody else. It comes directly from our boats right to your plate. We have fishermen that work great for us. We are wholesalers that we buy what we want to serve to our customers, and we put the rest of it right out in the market.
The Gloucester House Restaurant. Visit thegloucesterhouse.com.
This is the freshest seafood you can get from our boats to your plate.
If you're thinking of renovating your home, please talk to the experienced sales staff at Moynihan Lumber. That's 82 River Street in downtown Beverly. Or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Schwenard squibs up over the 40, up to the 42. It's a pickup of 4, and it's third down and a long 3 for the Panthers. Bobby Adams checks into the, has been in on the last two plays at wideout for the Panthers. I think it might be the first time we've seen him in this football game. 10:33, clock running. Beverly facing a 41-point deficit, and they have a goose egg on the scoreboard. Chris Cole to the near side. Under center. Handed off to Schwenard. Tries to spin. Nothing there, and he is spun around and drilled by Brad Backlund. And he'll be pushed back to the 40. They'll give him forward progress of about a yard, and it is fourth down and a long 2. For the Panthers.
Yeah, Brad Buckland Jr., 6'1", 190.
Yeah.
You know, another guy over 6 feet, over 180, you know, 185. And these guys spend a lot of time in the weight room and on the rack.
Fourth and a long 2. Actually, it's more like fourth and a short 3 for the Panthers. They're at their own 42-yard line, 9:46 to play in the football game. Two receivers near side. The backs are in the eye. Fake the handoff with time to throw downfield is Morency, and he is complete to Callis. I believe they're going to call that inbounds. Yep, they are. It's a completed pass to Hugh Callis at the 34-yard line. It was a little slow to call that because I couldn't tell whether he was able to keep his feet inbounds.
Yeah, I pretty much thought his feet were inbounds. His question was whether or not he managed to hold on to the ball all the way through the catch, and when he went down, because there were Duxbury players on the other side waving, no, but the side judge came running up saying, yes, it was a good catch. Morency threw that. That was almost the far center of his range. Put a lot of effort into that ball, and again, you had a step behind the defensive back and was able to make the play.
First and 10 from the 34. Big pitch for Schwenard. Has a lane near side at the 30. Cuts to the sideline. And he gets down to the 22, still on his feet. And he is spun down inside the 20 to about the 19-yard line. And Gans just picked him up by the shoulders and drilled him. I thought we were watching WWE for a second.
Well, Nick Guerin is down on the sideline. His ankle, he's actually dragging himself off the field of play right now. This might take a moment. He is in some distress, and it appeared to be his ankle. I don't know if he got caught underneath in that in the tackle, but Kyle Schwenard again made a great play getting to the outside, and he cut back inside. And I don't know if Guerin, when he spun to try to stay with the play, may have twisted the ankle. Because I don't think he was actually in on the takedown. Because I think that was Frankie Tower on the takedown. Oh, actually, I'm Gans. I'm Gans?
Yeah.
Okay.
So of note to the Beverly people, it is first and 10 for the Panthers from the 20, which is the best field position Beverly has had, I believe, in this football game. They're at the top of the red zone of Duxbury. It's 8:50 to play here in the fourth quarter, and it's a 41-point lead for the Duxbury Dragons, who have left out pretty much their entire starting defense.
Yeah, again, there are going to be some people that'll question, you know, the coach's decision to do that with such a large score and such a dominant control of the game to this point. But
of course, you know, I say that, and they send in sophomore Mike McCutcheon on the defense. The first time we've seen him, Dan McCarthy, also in defensively. So in the linebacker spot, some fresh jerseys. The line stays the same, the defensive secondary stays the same, and they have to replace Nick Guerin anyways at linebacker, so that may be more why we're seeing McCutcheon, who is a 5'11", 185 sophomore.
And Beverly Traynor is also assisting the treatment of the Duxbury player, Guerin.
Yeah, he's going to be helped off the field, and he's got to go a long way. He's on the Beverly bench, so he's got to make his way all the way across, but he's going to leave under his own power.
He's just he has a couple of large teammates next to him in case he needs some assistance. Number 53. just a little.
Oh, I took your lineup, didn't I?
Were you hiding underneath me here?
No, yours is in the plastic.
Oh, mine's in plastic. They're both in plastic.
So
as a teacher, everything goes in plastic, Randy. Yeah, number 53, Quinn Murphy, 6'5", 300 pounds. Is walking beside Guerin, making sure he's all right. I think may have just well to pick him up and carried across the field. May have sped up play a little bit.
All right, so here's Guerin. He's 5'11", walking across the field with an escort. They're both taller than he is, by a head. All right, 8:49 for the Panthers. Abatey with the ball, spins away from a tackle, gets strung out, cuts back to the inside, and he's going to get dropped for a loss. Quickly getting in on top of him and getting into the game is Mike McCutcheon. So here's a sophomore playing in place of the injured Nick Guerin, and you haven't lost a step.
No, he had kept cutting him off. You know, Beatty might have been better just trying to actually beat him to the corner, but he kept juking and jiving, and again he gave the defense not only McCutcheon a chance to get outside and cut him off, but also the defense to come in behind him and help make that play.
Kevin,
I don't think he was going to try to reverse his field, but then again, who just cut off?
Kevin Morency has the play call. Gets his team in the huddle. Down the breeze has picked up here. Although the flag has still crossed the way. Maybe it's because we're up a little higher than the flag.
We're in the jet stream.
It's all that traffic from Lawrence Airport, which is probably 15 miles from here. Second and 12 for the Panthers. They spread them out on the near side. The backs are in the eye. The pitch goes to Shinar. Looks like he's looking to throw. Instead, he cuts, and he is going to get dropped. He gets away from a tackle. Gets down to the 25, to the 24. And he is taken down there by Jack McKim.
Again, you know, you have to credit the Duxbury defense. They have forced Beverly into. They get a real big positive play, and that is two negative plays.
Yeah.
You know, and it's now, instead of first and 10, it's first and almost 15. A third and almost 15.
Clock running 7 minutes and 12 seconds for the Panthers.
And the thing of it is, the ball stays in play. The clock still runs. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're almost operating against yourself because you can't save any time on the clock.
Colin Chouinard rides to the far side. Flaherty in the backfield with his quarterback, Morency. Morency looks, airs it long into the corner of the end zone for Kalis. Kalis, and it is...
Incomplete
for Hugh Callis.
Yeah, went through his hands. He was twisting and turning around, trying to find the ball. I think he may have had a little trouble with the lights. Not sure, but he spun around, did almost a 360 trying to find the ball. And there was coverage there, but Morency had thrown the ball deep enough that Callis, had he been able to find it and control his body spin, may have been able to bring it in.
That was Mike Barry on the coverage.
Called at him a few times today as well.
So fourth and 15 for the Panthers from the 25. Now, you have a kicker that can make it, but I'm not sure that 3 points is really where you want to go here.
No.
Fourth and 15 for the Panthers. The ball at the 25-yard line, the near hash mark, as the Panthers move from right to left. Jordan Parasella over the ball first. Send Bobby Adams wide to the right side. Flaherty in the backfield with quarterback Morency. He's in trouble. Hangs onto the football, runs to the sideline. He's got a first down. He's at the 10, he's at the 5, and he's pushed out of bounds at the 2-yard line. So that is chicken salad out of the chicken feathers for Kevin Morency.
I'll tell you, you know, the coverage went deep. He had a receiver, again, well covered, and he just kept sprinting. He was being chased by number 31, Jake Quilty, and who almost caught him. But again, Morency used his speed, because Quilty is 6'5", 205, and Morency eventually used his size, which is all of 5'8", 145. I think he realized what might happen when Quilty caught up to him. So he just simply used his speed and quickness to get around the corner, and then he just saw the opportunity. There was nobody down the sideline, and so he took it for all he could get.
There's a flag on the far sideline, and I think there's a half the distance call coming here, because the ball is first and goal for the Panthers from the one.
Well, obviously, you mean there were two or three guys over there that one took him out of bounds, and then there were two other guys that followed up. So, personal foul, a little unnecessary roughness.
6:25, clock running, Beverly trailing by 41. The ball at the top of the soccer goal.
And you, Callis, is the deep back.
First and goal from the one. Give it to Callis. Callis runs into a wall. He pushes the wall with him and takes it in. A 1 yard touchdown push by Hugh Callis gets Beverly on the board with 6 minutes and 6 seconds to play here in the football game.
Yeah, I thought he had had it on the initial charge. The middle of the line got a good initial push, and you got Hugh Callis coming up behind him, and he just hit that wall behind hard and just thrust into the end zone. There was a good reaction by the defense, but it was just that split second too late. There wasn't much given that defensive line, let me tell you.
And you pointed it out. He was the deep back on it. He was probably a good 6-7 yards behind the line of scrimmage. Yep. He had a full head of steam coming when he took that football.
Yes, he did. And we've seen him, you know, hit receivers and running backs with a full head of steam. And they generally go back as well. Again, he had the offensive line. He had the two up backs to block in there. And he just picked the middle of it and just crashed into it.
Luke Samperi set for the point after. The kick is up, and it is right between the uprights. Makes it to the end of the running track. So Beverly's broken the shutout with 6:06 to play here in the football game. It's 41-7 with Duxbury leading on MIAA Division II Champion North Championship and MSONewsSports.com.
Gloria Food Store is still Beverly's number one deli, and no matter what New England weather is thrown at us, Gloria is open. With fresh bread delivered from Sunray Bakery every morning, Gloria can provide party platters, calzones, hot trays, cold trays, salad trays, and finger sandwiches for whatever you have planned. Call in your order at 978-922-3613, stop in at 268 Rantoul Street, or visit GloriaFoodStore.com.
Luke Samperi in the unusual position of kicking off after a score in this football game. 6:06 to play. Coach Kearns is packing up, getting ready to make his way down to the field for the postgame reports. We'll stay with you for this. Come back to the website. You'll see the postgame interviews. You'll see the press conference with the coach. Samperi does the onside kick, and will he recover it? He may have recovered his own kick. Well, the ball is on the ground at the 44-yard line. Beverly is signaling that they have it. On top of the ball, and Beverly does have the onside kick. Thought Aiden Taberner was the closest for Duxbury to recovering that ball. And it looked like Samperi might be the one who actually got it, but now there's a conference. And they're indicating it is first and 10 for the Panthers from the 45-yard line of Duxbury. 6:01 to play here in the football game. And Beverly gets the ball back on the onside kick following their first touchdown of the football game. Don't forget to join us Thanksgiving Day. as we will have the Danvers-Gloucester game. That's our video game for Thanksgiving Day. Classical in English on this channel for Thanksgiving Day, and that'll be our scoreboard, and I'll be at Beverly and Salem as well. Here is, excuse me, for Beverly, it's a Beatty, and he gets to the line of scrimmage, gets another couple of yards, a lot of activity left, right, and finally up, and they're going to mark him actually down back at the line of scrimmage. Oh, hot chocolate. Thank you. That'll bring that down, it'll warm your legs. Second and 10 for the Panthers from the 45-yard line.
I'm a manly man, don't I? I'm not going to be cold.
5 minutes and 3 seconds. You had the air conditioning on in the car coming up. You'll have the heat on going home. It's just my prediction. Yeah, no, you won't.
I thrive on cold. Come on. My wife hates it. I love being cold, and she hates being cold.
Jack McKim checks out. Phil Fasnacht into the game now for Duxbury. It looks like they have 12 men on the field, I think. 2, 4, 6, 8. Nope. Just looks, they're so big it just looks that way. Here's Morenci looking, fires it long, needs to get a receiver to come somewhere as near it, and it's incomplete.
Yeah, Callis checked up around the 40-yard line. Morenci thought he's gonna check and go deep, but you checked up and stopped.
Well, it does look like they have 12 guys out there, but like I say, it's just there's a lot of size.
No, I just counted 11. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks to whoever sent up hot chocolate. So third down and 10 for the Panthers. And 4:53, they'll put the clock back in motion. Looking to throw and firing it downfield is Morenci, and again, nobody there for him. Chouinard and Callis both with the opportunity, but that's one of those where I'm not sure if the quarterback is throwing to where he thinks they'll be or whether they're not where he thinks they'll be.
Again, Hugh Callis was not heading full steam down the middle, and the defensive back was actually behind him. The better option was Kyle Chouinard on the right-hand side, but Morenci was zeroed in on Callis and went that way. But Chouinard had beaten his man clearly and had a 2-3-yard cushion. If Morenci was able to check off and see him, he'd have had him going right down the seam.
Fourth and 10 for the Panthers from their own 45-yard line. This is where they have the onside kick. Morenci puts the ball on the ground. Instead finds Flaherty at the 50, down to the 45, to the 40. He has first down yardage. Cuts back inside at the 30. 1, 2, 3, 4 white jerseys get him. But he's down at the 20. That looked like it was going to be a broken play. But Kevin Flaherty took the ball behind the midfield stripe and got away from a whole host of tacklers. Has first down yardage. It's first and 10 for the Panthers from the 20.
Well, every now and then a busted play will help you out. Again, Morenci dropped the ball as he was turning to his right to roll out. He quickly recovered the ball, stopped, turned back, and found Flaherty in the flat down in front of us. And again, the Flaherty heritage showed there, picked his way down the field, and some great individual moves, took six men to bring him down.
Colin Abatey to the far sideline for the Panthers. First and 10 from the 20. Hand off to Chouinard. Finds the lane inside the 15 and down to the 10. And he pushes ahead, pushes the line again. The pile. He got another 5 yards moving that pile. Along with Jordan Parasella.
I'm not sure who was carrying the ball, whether Chouinard or Parasella. Yeah. I guess they both got up at the same time from the same spot.
So it is first and goal from the 6-yard line on the 14-yard pickup by Kyle Chouinard. So first and goal from the 6 for the Panthers. 3:16, the clock running. A 41-7 Duxbury lead here. Chris Cole wide to the far side. Sam Abatey out there with him. Chouinard is the deep back. Flaherty's the up back. Hand it to Chouinard. Touchdown! Kyle Chouinard, a 6-yard touchdown run. And Beverly gets on the scoreboard again, this time with 2:58 to play. Chouinard's six-yard run. Makes
I was going to ask you, Marty, do you think they're going to go to the same play again?
Yeah.
And they did.
So Luke Sampieri will kick the point after here. Out of the hold of quarterback Kevin Morency, 2:58 to play in the football game. And it's 41-13. It's 41-0 at the half. There's the snap. The kick is down, and it is predictably right through the uprights.
And predictably very far behind the blue posts. Again, into the track behind. The track leans behind the goalposts.
So with 2:58 to play, Duxbury Dragons lead the Beverly Panthers by a score of 41-14.
Score early and often this ball with a low-rate residential loan from the Institution for Savings. The Institution for Savings has fantastic rates, low or no fees, great service, and prompt turnaround. Plus, we service our mortgages in-house, so help is always a local phone call away. For more information or to apply online 24/7, visit institutionforsavingsloans.com or call us at 978-462-2344. Institution for Savings, member FDIC and DIF, equal housing lender.
So Beverly has closed the gap here to 41-14 to Duxbury, and we have 2 minutes and 58 seconds to play in the football game. And why is it that your phone always rotates when you don't want it to? Here's Sampieri, this time the line drive, and it's ball on the ground, and Chouinard has recovered it. It was a hard line drive. Bounced off the defender, rolled back. Chouinard sniffed out the football. And it's first and 10 for the Panthers from the 48 with 2 minutes and 54 seconds to play here in the football game. And Beverly over midfield. At halftime, it was 34-0. I apologize. 41-0 with 5:22 to play in the third quarter. And now Beverly has come steaming back here and recovered two onside kicks. And that wasn't an intentional onside kick. It went the requisite 10 yards, bounced off the defender, and Chouinard alertly on top of it. The ball at the 47-yard line of Duxbury between the two hash marks. Just at the top of the H for Lowell High School as we're at Cawley Stadium in Lowell. I'm Marty Smith. Thank you for joining us. Tim Kearns alongside tonight. Our thanks to Dan Bauer for joining us and for Phil Stacey for all of his help tonight and throughout the season here on MSONewsSports.com. Chouinard, the single receiver to the near side. Adams, tight on the far side. Split a Beatty now in motion off to the right. Back to throw as Morency fires it downfield. Another timing play, and it's intercepted. Pulled down out of the air by, that's Mike Barry for Duxbury, and Barry on the interception has his team back on offense at the 18-yard line. Make it the 17-yard line. And it is first and 10 for Duxbury, and the ball at the 17-yard line. 2 minutes and 40 seconds to play here in the football game. 41-14 with Duxbury on top. We'll wrap it up. Quickly, Tim Kearns has made his way down. He'll talk to the Beverly players and to Coach Kevin Morency, and you'll find those posted on our site. As both teams have to make the long ride home after this one. It'll be a long ride for Beverly time-wise. Mentally, it'll be a short ride and a lot of miles for the Duxbury Dragons, who have the football. And Bobby Mamaron remains in the football game, fires it long and incomplete. Intended downfield for David Colucci, but nicely covered by the Panthers, as they have Alex Copeland in on defense for Beverly. Kevin Flaherty also out there in the defensive secondary. Kyle Chouinard remains in the game for the Panthers. In comes Sam Abatey for Beverly. Nick Gonzalez comes back into the game. That brings out Nick Shares for the Panthers. Mamaron on second and 10. 2 minutes and 30 seconds. The clock is stopped here on the incomplete pass. Hand it off. This time for Frankie Toller. Toller turns left side, has first down up over the 30 to the 31-yard line. Drop down there by Beverly Billy Holy for the Panthers. makes the tackle. Joined out there by Kyle Champlain for Beverly. In comes Ben Ames for the Panthers. And that will bring out Beverly's Ryan Barrer, Coach Morency, getting a lot of guys into this football game here. Chris Ryan comes out after playing in that series. In the defensive backfield for the Panthers, Vasily Kazani on first and 10. For Duxbury, a minute and 44 seconds, clock running. And the ball off for Towler, and he will get to the 35, so the gain is 4, and it is second and 6. Minute and 34 seconds to play here in the football game. Nice hand for Flaherty, Kevin Flaherty, as he makes his way out of the game, and the Beverly crowd gives him a good ovation. Tyler Geary comes in for Beverly. Tyler Geary in the game for the Panthers. Kazani lined up to the near side. The long count taken, a minute and 8 seconds. Bobby Mamaron hands the ball off and gets it up to about the 38-yard line. Tackle made there by the Panthers' Billy Holy. And we're under a minute, 53 seconds to play in the football game. It is third down and a long two for the Duxbury Dragons. Still from the quarterback, Bobby Mamaron. Takes the long count. Winds the clock down to 37 seconds. Spread the offense out to either side. Single back in the backfield is Frankie Towler once again. Hand it off up over the 43-yard line. Ball carrier Ian McLeod there for Duxbury. 20 seconds to play here in the football game. And they do not need to put this ball into motion again to run the clock down. So with 11 seconds, the Duxbury sideline starts to celebrate here as they are going to go and defeat the Beverly Panthers by a final score of 41-14 on MIAA Division II North. High School Football Championship. We'll be back to wrap it up next on MSONewsSports.com.
Score early and often this fall with a low-rate residential loan from the Institution for Savings. The Institution for Savings has fantastic rates, low or no fees, great service and prompt turnaround. Plus, we service our mortgages in-house, so help is always a local phone call away. For more information or to apply online 24/7, visit institutionforsavingsloans.com or call us at 978-462-2344. Institution for Savings, member FDIC and DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're thinking of replacing the windows in your home, you should look at the Anderson Woodwright double hung insert window, which comes with rich wood interiors in oak, pine, or maple. Quite simply, Anderson is the most trusted window in America. That's why we've been selling them for 57 years. Please see the Anderson Woodwright windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, and Plastow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Looking for a reliable place to produce your team's uniforms or your business's corporate apparel? Then Sarkisian Sportswear is the place for you. Conveniently located on Route 1 South in Peabody, Mass., Sarkisian Sportswear handles all aspects of your needs, from price quoting to providing visual proofs to production completion. Visit our website, SarkisianSports.com, to view our monthly specials, vendor catalogs, and to request a quote. Remember, Sarkisian Sportswear is the place to go.
Come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
This game is brought to you by the Institution for Savings, your local community bank since 1821. With great rates, great service, and great people. Harrington Trophy, rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years with quality products and service, located in Lynn and at HarringtonTrophy.com. Moynihan Lumber, of Beverly, North Reading, and Plastow, New Hampshire. The Sylvan Street Grill. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill. The Daily Item of Lynn, and itemlive.com. Click on their banner on our website to access their respective news and sports coverage.
At Cully Stadium in Lowell, it was, as we kind of all expected it might be, a Bobby Memoron show here for the Duxbury Dragons as they've defeated the Beverly Panthers by a score of 41-14 in a game that realistically may not have even been that close. As Memoron threw for three and kept the ball for two touchdowns in this football game, accounting for five of the touchdowns, 30 of the 41 points that were scored. 7:05 to play in the first quarter. Memoron finds John Roberts in a 38-yard touchdown reception. It's 6-0. Ben Carver's point after attempt is good. It's 7-0. 1:49 to play still in the first quarter. And Memoron finds Ryan Regan, who was just playing in his second game after returning from an injury. It's 13-0. Ben Carver's kick is good. We're 14-0 at the quarter. That Memoron, with 8:43 to play in the third quarter, in the second quarter, has an 8-yard keeper, and it's 20-0. Carver's kick is good, and we go to 21-0. Beverly's next possession. Mike Barry pulls the ball down at the 45-yard line of Duxbury, returns it 55 yards on the interception return. It's 27-0. Carver's kick is blocked by the Panthers, and we remain at 27-0. But with 1:43 to play in the first half, 20-yard pass from Memoron to James Miley, and it's 33-0. Carver's kick is good, and it's 34-0 at the end of the half. 5:22 to play in the third quarter. Memoron, a 6-yard keeper, makes it 40-0. Carver's kick is good, and it's 41-0 at the end of three quarters. Beverly gets on the scoreboard twice in the fourth quarter. Callis's 1-yard run closes it to 41-6. Samperi's kick is good. It's 41-7. Chenard's 6-yard touchdown run with 2:58 to play in the game makes it 41-13. Luke Samperi's point after attempt is good, and the final score of this football game is 41-14. So the Division II North Championship, advancing to the Super Bowl, is going to be Duxbury. They'll play the winner of the Shrewsbury Westfield game at Gillette Stadium in a couple of weeks. Marblehead, the lone representative at this point, headed to the Super Bowl, and will be there for the play coverage of that one. Our next broadcast will be Thanksgiving Day, as we will have Danvers and Gloucester, and we'll have Lynn English and Lynn Classical. Danvers Gloucester is the video game. English and Classical will also be our scoreboard show. I'll be at Beverly for the Beverly-Salem game. And our final score here from Cully Stadium in Lowell is the Duxbury Dragons defeating the Beverly Panthers by a score of 41-14. Our thanks to Marblehead Principal Dan Bauer for joining us in this evening's broadcast. Our thanks to Phil Stacey for all of the work that he's done in this game and for accompanying us throughout the season here on MSO News Sports. I'm Marty Smith for Tim Kearns and our executive producer, Rick Moore, bidding you a very pleasant good evening from Cully Stadium in Lowell, where our final score is 41 for Duxbury and 14 for the Beverly Panthers on MSONewsSports.com.